Basically what we're saying.
Schwarzenegger's amazing and he's dreamy.
I can't say I disagree.
What's her face? Ashley Johnson described him as Final Fantasy-esque. I was like, okay, yeah, sure, I can see that.
That's why he played Snow.
Oh man, he's a good Snow. I like Snow. He's like the only good character.
No, Snow is a terrible character.
I love Snow. He's such a, like...
Troy Baker's awesome. Snow is a terrible character.
Snow is pretty great. he's the classic Final Fantasy hero.
Oh, he's the classic brooding Final Fantasy character.
What? What are you talking about? He's all like, yeah, we're friendship and togetherness.
Are we thinking game. Of the same
the power of friendship will defeat all of our
Exactly.
Enemies.
That's exactly how Snow acts.
In Final Fantasy 13. Snow looks kind of like Troy Baker.
He does. And Troy Baker was kind of like Duff McKagan as
he
we went over.
Like that looks enough like Troy Baker that he could probably get away with it.
Yeah.
He was wearing a beanie.
Well, I don't put it past Troy Baker to wear a beanie. Troy Baker seems like a beanie kind of guy. I don't know. In fact, I'm pretty sure I've seen him in a beanie during recording.
I think that Troy Baker has nice enough hair. That he doesn't need to wear a beanie, and I feel like he realizes this.
I'm pretty sure he's well aware he has nice hair.
Has unfair hair.
Yes, yeah. He does.
His hair is unfair.
Troy Baker is the definition of a triple threat, I have to say. and with that...
Welcome to the Lincoln Cast, the Giant Bomb Community's Troy Baker podcast.
In this special episode, the Scotch Cast, where we'll be talking about The Last of Us, Bioshock Infinite... And probably a versus.
Final Fantasy
between.
Versus 13.
Yeah. So.
You mean Final Fantasy 15.
Yes.
Welcome to the show
I don't
again.
Think Troy Baker's involved with that.
I don't think. I No,
Not
I,
yet.
I'm thinking it's very possible that Troy Baker will end up as the lead character of Final Fantasy 15. I think it's almost.
It's a video game. Troy
certain.
Baker is bound to be in it.
He was in both Bioshock Infinite and The Last of Us this year.
Yes, the power of Troy Baker has brought us together once again.
Yes, he has. Yes, he has.
Yes.
Joining me today is Shinboy 630. What's up, Shinboy?
Troy Baker's pretty awesome, you guys. I don't know if you knew this.
And a special guest, because we only ever had him on before when we talked about Bioshock Infinite, Tyler / Commodore Jenkins. Is
what
that right?
Do?
Yeah, it's Commodore Jenkins.
Yes,
right?
That is correct.
Yeah, so The Last of Us, you guys. Do you guys want to talk about do you guys want to talk about spoilers first? Like, this is going to be a spoiler cast to let everyone know. We're going to be spoiling the fuck out of both this and Bioshock Infinite in the comparison section later, or now, depending how we do this. But no, you're right. There's not much to spoil. I guess.
It is very much it is about the journey, not the destination type of experience.
It's, like, for example, if you said to someone that Joel and Ellie live in the end, and he lies
Whoa,
to her,
spoilers,
that means nothing.
My God.
that was a question for a little while there.
It was a huge question for a long time.
Like they weren't going to make it out of there.
Yeah, but like if you told someone like Joel and Ellie live in the end, they would assume the Hollywood ending, and they would still be like completely fucked over by that ending.
Yeah,
like I think it's very possible that by leaving them alive, it just spun it way darker. At the end there. Like, it's just way darker than
I was thinking, and you mentioned this before I beat the game, that you'll see at the end why they left him alive, because there was a very good possibility that he was going to die after he got stabbed through
yep.
the, for whatever, mm-hmm. with that spike.
The rebar,
you
with
know,
the
by
returning,
the ground.
The what, double threat from Tomb Raider and now The Last of Us, like, the one thing that can harm main characters and penetrates character shielding is the rebar on the ground.
Pretty much don't fall. Pro
more,
tip.
More powerful than bullets, more powerful than swords is the rebar.
Anyway, yeah. I totally see what you mean, because that ending, I mean, obviously it's not possible if he's dead, but there's no way they could have spun it as dark.
Yeah. Like, he was dead. Like, you stop playing around like 80 something percent, or I think it was like 81%. And you're going on about how you may have liked it more if Joel had died in the hospital. Oh, not the hospital, the university. Mm-hmm. And my response was, nah, finish the game and then come back to me.
Yeah, I thought it was a little bit of a cop-out when they show, like, Joel is just kind of laying there.
Mm-hmm.
He's not dead.
Yep.
It was like, he bled a lot.
He did bleed a lot.
He looked like he was done.
Yeah. That little sequence when you're getting helped out of the hospital is my favorite part of the game.
I think it's really good. It's not my favorite, but I think it's really great. Like, again, these are the guys who made Uncharted, and having a character actually be that damaged has only been like done by them once before, which was like the opening of Uncharted 2, which is the second best opening they've done, which was Drake waking up on the collapsed train.
He was still like well enough to climb.
Because he's Indiana Jones,
and then fight off hordes of bandits.
Because he's Indiana Jones. It's okay.
But in this,
it's almost as Rebar was when he was trapped in the desert for like 3 days.
And he found
all of a sudden he lands city and then he fights more bandits.
so dumb, I swear. Oh my god.
But in like the campiest, best way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't know. I didn't particularly enjoy Uncharted 3. Like this, if anything.
Well, we're talking strictly Uncharted 2 here.
Oh, well, no, the desert is from Uncharted.
Oh, the desert was Uncharted 3. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
You didn't even get to that part,
didn't you?
No, I didn't because
you quit before then.
Is like one of the worst designed levels. Agreed. In the history of forever.
That room with the two levels and you having to fight off like a billion dudes. Oh god, and half of them with like rocket launchers and shit. Oh, it wasn't rocket launchers; it was shotguns. Anyway,
see, you guys. The only one here actually really likes Uncharted 3. It actually might be my favorite of the series.
Really? I think you are a crazy person. 2 was like clearly the best.
I don't know, like I really enjoyed 2, but I almost felt it was like a little bit overrated just because like...
I did not know 2 had a Metacritic of 96.
I really didn't like the story that much. Whereas 3, I thought the story was really well done with stuff with Drake and Sully.
Pretty much, the Uncharted trilogy is the original Star Wars trilogy when it comes to levels of quality.
But that's every trilogy now. When was the last time the third installment of something was the best?
Lord of the Rings!
Return of the King!
Return of the King extended edition is in my top 3 movies of all time.
I actually prefer... No, for a long time I prefer Two Towers, but no, I'm with you.
I'm with you. Two Towers are the best.
I flip flop between those two, but we are failing to talk about the game in question.
Welcome to the Scops Cast, the John Bomb Community's Lord of the Rings podcast.
What were we saying? So you guys want to start the top of that game instead of like midway through and going forward?
Blind Guardians album, Nightfall and Middle Earth.
There's only a couple things I really want to talk about when it comes to The Last of Us. The opening, Pittsburgh, winter as an entirety, and then the ending. And then the rest, then after that we can just do other shit. Because those are the only things, like real talking points I think of when I think of The Last of Us. And which is kind of sad because I've already kind of talked myself to death about it over the last week. If anyone has been paying attention to anything I've done over the last week, it is like just been like watching making ofs and interviews and like Twitter and all this other shit and spoiler casts about The Last of Us. So I'm kind of talking myself out, but those 4 talking points or 5, whatever it was, I think are pretty valid to talk about at any point of time. The opening, guys. How'd you think
saw
of
that coming a mile away?
We kind of had to, right? Like, so you open with Sarah. She's Joel's daughter, and you immediately know that she's gonna die. A, because of the music, and B, because she's not on the box cover, right? Like she featured.
To be honest, I didn't even know it was Joel at first.
Really?
Oh, it looks just like him.
Yeah, but like as soon as he walked in, I was like, "Who's this guy?" This is like a side story of like how like all the events of this game happened.
I like that he did, in fact, look younger. He wasn't just the same dude.
He was younger. He's like 20 years younger there.
Yeah, yeah. And I think like I've also like been watching the like other languages interpretations of those two characters, and just being able to sit there and compare like how Troy Baker does Joel in that opening compared to like how the Russian dude does Joel, it's like a
really angry.
He's just like, you know, so there's the joke about the drug, like I sell hardcore drugs, and he's just like okay, then you can help me pay off the mortgage. Like that joke is just so, he just like lowballs it in The Last of Us, and by that I mean like he it's subtle, like he just says it and it feels like he said it a million times, and he's just a dad sitting there on a couch with his daughter. Like it feels natural when they did it, but then if you see like some other interpretations, they play that out into like, hey, that was funny, right? Hey, and then nudge you across this. Like they really overplay that statement, and yeah,
it's the Russian one just like, "Da, comrade."
That's the whole thing. That's the whole, all the dialogue in the whole game.
So even though I saw Milo, I knew, you kind of know she has to die within moments, I still think that the execution of the opening was absolutely fantastic. Like,
I get it. Execution.
Hey, like starting off playing as Sarah, Tyler. Tyler, how did you feel starting off playing as Sarah? Did you expect that? I did not expect to play anyone except Joel.
I thought that was great. Like, I love when you play as characters that you don't expect you're going to play.
Yeah.
Three. That was dumb.
They do it pretty well in that, like, they hint at it with the camera usage, with the camera following her as he puts her in bed and that kind of stuff. But only when the phone call happened and she gets out of bed did I realize, like, wait, I'm playing as Sarah. I didn't think you'd be playing anyone except for Joel in this game. And that's like the immediate like differentiating factor between this and all their previous games. I don't think they've done multiple protagonists in the past, have they? Like,
that's not playable.
I don't know if it was one or two. Definitely three. You could play as different characters.
Which?
Now, if we're talking Crash Bash here.
Oh, God.
No, I know for a fact in Crash 3, you play as Crash and whatever sister's name is. I can't even remember.
Wait, is that Warped?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, that game.
I don't think it's the same group of people who made those games as made this one.
Yes. That's a Naughty Dog game. It's Naughty
There's Preston.
But no, you're right. Sure. If you want to bring it back to Cat Crash, then you're probably right.
I also play as Daxter in one of the Jack games.
You're right. You do play as Daxter in the Jack games.
But all right, that's enough of that. Moving on.
You play a mass murderer in Uncharted,
and then she dies at the opening. And I actually find that feeling. I actually find that scene rewatchable in its excellence.
I just want to say real quick. You know the part where you're carrying Sarah and like you're running around the city trying to get out. Yeah. I actually died.
Did you?
Because I went the wrong way.
I think I did the same, because like he goes, oh, let's go back in this back alley, and I didn't see where the alley was, and I was just like looking around for a bit, and then like watching, I was just looking at the fire, and I didn't realize that some of the people running past me were infected, and one just like grabs you and kills you, and I was like, oh,
yeah, fuck. I like ran right toward the fire because I thought the, like there was an exit there, and then I died.
In fact, like the opening there is like one of the first instances of them using lighting as your main directional source, because I'm not sure if you guys remember it, but when you're carrying Sarah and go around that corner from the burning fuel depot, I've watched this like a million times on YouTube now, so I remember like every moment of it, but you go around the corner, man, and
fuel
then
depot, that is such a not American thing to say.
What do you guys call it? The truck stop? I don't, what?
Just a gas station.
Gas station. Okay. Yeah, I don't call them gas stations. It's kind of, anyway, so you go around the corner and there's like the theater in the distance with the sign, which is like now playing tonight. And that is like the bright light source that draws you in that direction. Or like just at the start when you're playing as Sarah and you go into the hallway and to your right, there's like that door with a sliver opening of it. And you see the flashes off the TV screen, like the white light coming through the sliver of the door. And as you exit that door, there's like a light, the nightlight down the stairs, which leads you down the stairs. And when you get downstairs, there's the phone on the kitchen counter, which starts buzzing. And by the way, I thought that was my phone, so I immediately reached my phone and checked before realizing it was from the game.
Man, that'd be crazy if they managed to work that in.
Your phone just starts ringing and then you hear Joel's voice. Hello?
Yeah, that freaking like smart glass, man. After God, so of War,
after God of War came out, you could call Kratos.
What?
That was a weird thing.
There'd be a message.
What? That happened? Man. That didn't happen.
You could call Kratos, and he was just like, if I kill you, I will get health orbs or something really dumb.
What the fuck? When...
You had to destroy a statue in Olympus.
Oh, yeah.
That I like, gave a phone number or something.
Yeah. I forgot about that. That's God of War 1. Oh, my God. That was like, what, 10 years ago now or something? It's crazy. People are crazy. Yeah, so she dies, and I cried. Well, I didn't. I think I almost cried. I think I just, like, sat there, bemused, looking at the screen. Because it was, like, the first instance of this game being a zombie game in that... The zombies aren't what killed his daughter. It was...
They're also the not zombies.
Yeah. Let's not get into the semantics of whether or not they're zombies. That's
they
not
were
important.
Zombies. Like, I hate zombie fiction, like, to my core. I find it really dumb in most cases. So I'm fine
it's
with
It's cheap
saying,
a lot of the time.
I just hate the fact that, like, it's just oversaturated at this point. Like, everything's zombie-related. Yeah.
Like, World War Z is fucking coming out this week, and just like, come on.
Which is apparently good, which I'm having trouble.
I was like, at the movies leaving. Yesterday, and I was like, I don't understand how this movie is not just doing terrible.
Brad Pitt, man. Power Brad Pitt. That's the only way I can think of.
It's the hair.
It's the hair. It's the Troy Baker hair on Brad Pitt, and it's working
for
him.
That's not Troy Baker hair at all.
Isn't it? It's like he's dyed it light blonde, and he's sweeping it back now.
I don't know. Brad Pitt's almost got like the flowing locks going.
Yeah, he does. Always that. I actually really liked him in Troy. Anyway.
Oh, God, Troy.
I really like Troy.
Such wine.
I really like Troy. Which I guess cast negative aspersions of everything I'll say today, but sure.
Your opinion is now invalid.
The real question here is, what are your opinions on Gladiator?
I fucking love Gladiator.
We need yes. Internet high five.
Yeah.
We need to make this a separate podcast because we'll be here for 3 hours.
Like, let's name all the movies we like.
Scotchcast, Guild Wars 2, Communities, Gladiator.
What was I going to talk about? All right. Then she dies. So Shinbo, you're entirely emotionally unaffected by that intro. I found it amazing.
Sort of because, like I said, saw that shit coming a mile away.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as like she was walking like upstairs, she was like, "Dad." I was like, "Oh man, she gonna die." Knew it right then and there. Her fate was sealed.
But wasn't like the way I think the way she died and the act.
I was put this way. I was what I took away from that scene was not so much like sad, I guess, more as impressed at how well they pulled it off.
Right.
Yeah. Her death sounds she was making. I was like, "Oh God, she's really like she's not gonna make it."
She sounded like a little girl in pain, and that was kind of fucked up to me because.
Yeah, I was getting a little uncomfortable there.
It was strong. And Troy Baker's performance in that was staggeringly good, which is crazy because if you watch the behind the scenes stuff, which I have since then, that scene, in Troy Baker's words, was good in spite of him rather than good because him, because they showed some of the. Because they had to do two separate days. To record that scene, and for each of those, Troy needed like 1 week of emotional preparation to record in those days, and so because he hasn't like had significant loss aside from like a couple of instances of his life, so the only real way, and he isn't a father, so the only real way for him to get up to that emotional level is to like dig himself through like the some of the bad points of his life. So the first time they did it, They show you the motion capture of it. So you see Troy Baker there, and the moment she dies, he just fucking loses it. Like he starts like weeping and like screaming and shit as Joel, like in Joel's voice, and he does a pretty great job. Like he's a pretty good actor in his own right, but like when you see that, and then what happened was. Neil Druckmann, who's the director of the game, he saw that and he took it. And even on that day, they did like 9 to 10 or so cuts of this. And Troy was just getting more and more angry the whole day because it's hard for him to keep doing that. And at the end of the day, Neil Druckmann just said, "Okay, sure, I think we've got it." And then he went back. Then he watched it. And then he was like, "No, I don't think that's good enough." So he calls Troy back for a second try at it. And the second try, Troy was just like pissed because he didn't want to go through that again emotionally. And what Neil Druckmann finally had him do was he made him do it mechanically. He just like said, you have to hit this beat, this beat, this beat, and this beat to get the scene how I want it to be. And Troy, because he had to look at it mechanically and hit those beats, like he pulled back his performance. And that's why you get like the really somber mood of that end. Because in the end, he's just like quietly weeping to God, right? When he's holding her in his arms. And it's just like he's just whispering and just crying as a man. Whereas in his earlier performance, he was just like, yeah, just completely blowing.
It's like it's almost as if like in the previous performances, he was just trying too hard, I guess. Yes, yeah,
exactly. And that's why Troy says like he first wanted. I don't want to spoil the making of Featurette because actually it's really good. But in Troy's words,
spoil the rest of the game.
He just wanted to, like, the first time he did it, he wanted to for people to point at him and go, "Wow, he's a great actor." But the second time he did it, Neil made him actually be a great actor by directing him properly, and that's why that scene is so good. And I think it works.
So when he was doing that scene, was he mo-capped?
Yeah, he was covered in balls. Ugh. Like, you know what's the craziest thing?
Was he holding something? Like, was he holding his small child?
No, yeah. The actress who plays the child was there. Like, she's actually, like, about that age. Like, 14, maybe 16.
Oh, okay.
And she does...
Jesse Johnson, not, like, the same age as Ellie.
Yeah, and she doesn't play... Like, I actually thought Ashley Johnson played both. But no, like... It's an actually entirely different girl. She's like a little girl, like 16 years old or something. And she does the full, like, crying. Like, she's in tears and stuff during these scenes. So both of them are going through this crazy stuff. The guy who plays Joel's brother is there in the background. He's in tears as well. Like, this is... Okay. It's, like, one of the craziest mocap scenes I've seen. And they're all covered in, like, spandex and balls, right? But the craziest thing about it all is that Naughty Dog doesn't do performance capture. They only do mocap. Which is the difference there being they don't put the dots on the face. They hand animate Joel in every scene of that game.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I sort of knew that going because they've always done that for the Uncharted stuff as far as I know.
I thought they used performance capture. I always thought they used performance capture. I didn't know they still use mocap, which is kind of
Do they
crazy.
Record their no audio?
Does not have that wry smile.
Doesn't he? I think no, totally is about
not on that smile. Not on that level. They should have just gotten Nolan North to record the lines, but gotten Nathan Fillion to do the performance capture.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe that could have worked out. I don't know. What was it, Tyler?
I forget. Do they record the lines live, or they just like act them out and then record them after the fact?
No, it's beat for beat recorded live. They're obviously going to have to go back and do some, like, what's his face? Like, patch up work and stuff. Like, they've had to rewrite lines and stuff. Most of the stuff is beat for beat their live performance. There's a YouTube, like, double up, whatever you call them, where it shows like the mocap performance on one side and the actual cutscene from the game.
I've seen those for Uncharted.
Yeah, and they do that for this, and it's perfect. Like, if you play the two on top of one another, they sync up sound wise as well.
My favorite part about watching those is especially the Uncharted ones, mm-hmm. is the people running in and out with the props trying to, like, not distract the actors.
Yeah.
And kind of the crazy thing is, like, they didn't really have to do that for this because the game is so sparse. Like, there's just nothing there for most of the game. It's just the actors on screen and the stuff around them. Like, for some of the stuff, like, they were showing this part where them and Sam and his brother walk up to, like, this thing and they have to climb over it. Like, they're running away from zombies, and then there's, like, the grate in the ceiling that they jump up and climb through that grate or whatever. And it's just, like, this pole fort looking thing, which is just like just freaking scaffolding that makes up the stuff, and them, and then just an empty mocap studio with, like, cameras and people there. That's pretty much it, and it's pretty cool. Anyway, I found that intro. I'm gonna say this is gonna be the first superlative I use today. That intro was the best
first
intro
of
the game ever. That intro was fucking spectacular.
Game,
yeah. I think that intro was the masterclass intro.
I've heard a lot of people say that, like, the intro is the best part of the entire game, which I don't know.
I don't think
I don't
so.
Know if I say that. No, yeah, I do think the intro was, like, I think it was spot on. Like, it did exactly what it was trying to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nailed it, but I don't know. There's other parts later on, specifically Winter. Yeah. Like all of Winter.
Yeah, Winter is the highlight of that
game. I'm not going to say it's the best part of the game, but I think, like, thinking through... Of course, I haven't played every game ever, but I think it's better than Bioshock's intro, even with the baptism stuff. I think this is
I don't know, because for me, I really, really like religious overtones to things. I find them super fascinating.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's say the Bioshock versus Last of Us for the end.
Cool. All right.
I don't know. We're moving on. To get there at this rate.
Moving on, we got Pittsburgh. And I don't really have too much to say about Pittsburgh. But
Pittsburgh sucks. Moving on.
Is that it? Is that what we're going to go for?
Not even Last of Us, just in general.
Just
in general.
The city of Pittsburgh just sucks in general.
That's the low point of that game by a wide margin.
Just huge margin. But why do you know?
No creativity and level design. It's super mechanical.
I don't think I
there's
disagree.
Nothing really interesting happens in the story.
Of the game, they're trying to ease you into all the mechanics.
It lasts way too long.
I think it does last too long. But I think it is pretty creative.
Fall lasted a little too long.
Which fall?
Or like right before Winter?
Autumn.
Sorry.
No. I think they call it fall in the game, right?
American.
I thought fall was the perfect length. I thought everything got shorter as it went on because Pittsburgh was the longest, and then fall was shorter than that, and then winter was shorter than fall, and then spring was the shortest. Right.
Spring is really short.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought fall was pretty much the. I think winter was the perfect length, but fall was pretty decent because fall was. Does that include him riding like Ellie riding off? Was that fall? Okay. What was Pittsburgh? It was just like them and Sam and stuff, right?
It was like
I thought that was before.
It was like them and the poor level design.
Oh,
what happened to Pittsburgh? I completely forget. Is that like the car thing happens, right? Like they get what's called trapped.
Where are you when you start the game with Tess? Where's that?
Boston.
Boston. Is that Boston or Austin?
Boston.
You start in Austin.
It's Boston.
Yep.
Okay.
Definitely Boston.
Boston as in PAX.
Mm.
All right, because I kind of forgot like which city it was in.
Because
I thought you went to Pittsburgh and then Boston, but
like Boston ends with Tess dying, and then you leave Boston.
And quick note on that scene: there is legitimate. What impressed me was there's legitimate sadness in her eyes when she's looking back.
That actress is spectacular, and I've forgotten what she's
even that. Aside from that, just the way they animated it.
Oh yeah. Yeah, again, like coming back to being hand keyed, I remain incredibly impressed with what they did by hand keying in that game. Because, yeah, like that was one of the first instances of many where just by looking at a character's face, you get layers of emotion from that. Like, I think one of them was. Was that the first instance? Because you meet Ellie, but she's kind of like a non. In my opinion, she's like a non.
It was like the first big instance.
Yeah, because I actually wasn't impressed by Ellie until Pittsburgh. And I think that's why I liked Pittsburgh so much. Whereas I thought she was just like a generic video game girl until... Actually, no. The moment she does the double middle finger salute, like one finger salute to... what's his name? The fat guy?
Bill.
That was when I started liking Ellie. Like that moment when she was like, fuck you, man. I was like, awesome.
Yeah, her stuff with Bill was great. I love
so
that.
So good.
Don't need to be a dick.
And that was before Pittsburgh, right? That's they get the car there, and then they drive, and then they get T-boned at Pittsburgh. So the Bill stuff, like you guys like the Bill stuff? I actually found it a bit too combat heavy, especially like the part where
I found pretty much, except for the very beginning, from the end of like the intro up until fall, most of that game I find is fairly forgettable.
Actually, I thought, but thinking back to it, it's not.
Like, because I feel like the game like definitely gets better like as it progresses. I don't know if I say it's forgettable. The thing is, I played the game like around the time it came out, and I played it like up until like fall, I think.
Yeah.
And then I actually like went away for a week because I went to my family to Disney World.
Oh right.
So when I came back, I like some of the things were a little hazy about what happened before.
Mm.
But then I just plowed through it last night.
Like for me, like the stuff that's memorable before fall, before fall would be meeting Ellie and me not giving a shit about her. Then the double one finger salute to Bill, and that was awesome. And that's when I started liking her. The stuff in the car on the way to Pittsburgh was actually legitimately funny with like her kind of flipping through the porn magazine. That was awesome.
Oh God, I love that.
That was great. And then when you get to Pittsburgh, the only parts of it like I think are really important are the best survival horror in that game, which is when you're in the bottom of the hotel and going through like that water sequence and pulling the generator stuff.
Oh god.
That
okay,
was
quick story time. That was... quick story time.
Go ahead.
The first time that happened, I was running because I heard the things yelling. And you know how you have to like make the turn down the hallway with all the spores to get to the door?
Yep.
The enemies, something with the AI, got stuck in that hallway, but out of view when you're running towards it. So I was just hauling ass towards that door, went into that hallway, and just got insta-murked by the bloater and almost just died on the spot in my chair.
I actually think they programmed it because I watched PewDiePie's taking on that part. And
why did you watch that?
Because I want to see how other people play through the game. And so the bloater
Why PewDiePie?
He's the only one. He's like the most views. I don't really like him one way or the other, but he had the most views. So
all right, fair enough.
The bloater is actually programmed to go up those stairs and wait for you at that spot if you're not fast enough. I think it's actually intentional that he was there. Because when PewDiePie did it, he aggroed the bloater and the bloater chased him for a while, but then he lost the bloater and went stealth, and the bloater turned around and went back toward that door. So I think he's supposed to be there.
As soon as I pulled it, it just went, like, I could see the other dude, mm-hmm. like the regular like runner or whatever, and he was stuck on the door.
Oh no. Oh no.
So I think the AI just bugged out.
Yeah, maybe. But yeah, no, I think that was the best survival horror in that game, because just like the darkness of being alone, especially because there's no comedic off put by like having Ellie there reading jokes from a joke book, for example. Like it's just him by himself with a flashlight, semi-submerged by water, surrounded by infected, and then you had to pull a generator, and that was awesome. That's why I like Pittsburgh. Also, Pittsburgh was important because it's when he started trusting Ellie with his life. Like, he gave her the gun and that kind of stuff, and she saves his life a couple times in Pittsburgh, and that's why I think Pittsburgh is pretty important. But anyway, moving on.
But see, like, all of that could have been accomplished in, like, three fewer hours.
I think so, too. I think it is too long.
It's not that it's bad. It drags.
Yeah.
Some of it feels like filler.
Yeah.
Yep.
I agree.
I think also like it kind of artificially lengthens itself because there are parts of the game that are pretty tough. It took mm-hmm. me a little while to get through.
The bookstore
is
tough.
I remember the beginning, the subway area where there's you kind of first encounter the clickers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And
yeah.
The thing is, the clickers aren't that tough. Like, when you just sneak up behind them and shiv them. Mm-hmm. The problem is when they stick runners around.
Yeah.
So, like, when you try to get close to a clicker, the runner will see you, and they'll mm-hmm. alert the clickers, and then you're just screwed.
Did you invest early in listening distance, or did you wait a while before you go there?
The thing is, I actually disabled the listening mode at first.
That's what I thought.
Because I thought it was, like, breaking the immersion too much.
Right.
But then after a while, I basically discovered that I had to use listening mode, so I turned it back on.
Like, survivor difficulty disables that by default. I don't think you can enable it for survivor. And that's why that difficulty is so hard. Like, you not having listening doesn't make the game impossible. It just makes it so much harder. Just so much harder. And you just don't... I don't think that's a fun way to play that game, but anyway.
But I still enjoyed the challenge, like...
Yeah.
And a lot of games nowadays that are really easy, so the fact that you actually had to work your way around the level and figure out what to do was pretty fun.
Yeah, but there's like...
Whatever, man. I like Solid Snake mode.
Oh, dude. I'm not sure if you guys have realized, but this game is just a reskin Metal Gear Solid 4.
I can kind of see that.
Naughty Dog
has made a fantastic Metal Gear Solid game.
Yeah, they like straight up, aside from like sticking to stuff and blending with it entirely. Well, you kind of don't need that because enemies can't see you. So you can be like right next to an enemy, like a undead, whether it be a clicker or a runner. If the runner is in like crying mode, like when they're just standing there crying, you can be right next to them and they won't see you. Like straight up, one-to-one, the sneaking, the shooting, not the feel of these things, but just the fact that these elements are put together in the one game. Listening is so similar to Solid Snake's like circle of awareness around him, where if you play Metal Gear Solid 4, there's like a bump in like this listening distance around him where an enemy is, and you can like track that as it goes along. Listening is just like an evolution of that. And then the fact that you can play half a combat sequence with stealth and then just like as soon as you're discovered, just say fuck it and just kill everyone with guns. That is exactly what made Metal Gear Solid 4 better than the previous Metal Gear Solid.
Speaking,
in my opinion.
Speaking of listening mode and moving on from Pittsburgh, because I think we all pretty much said what we needed to say about that drag of a sequence. When in winter, at the very end, in that, I guess you can call it a boss fight, the third part of the three, when they essentially take listening mode away by making him sneak around.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
That was awesome. That was a great boss fight.
I needed to put my controller down afterwards. My palms were super sweaty.
I fucking loved that boss fight. But before we get there, Pittsburgh is done. Pittsburgh is done.
Thank God.
And I just want to say the bookstore was a piece of shit. I hated that bookstore, and it had like five times too many dudes. It's like, it's just put like five dudes there. Like, make it realistic. Don't have like 50 dudes in one bookstore.
I could have swore the second time I did that after I died the first time, there were way fewer dudes.
I think there's like a spawn of them somewhere.
Either that or like it somehow auto-saved in the middle of it.
Yeah.
And I didn't notice.
I noticed that, like, I would die sometimes, and instead of spawning me, like, right before I died, it would, like, spawn me ahead.
A little bit ahead.
There'd be less enemies there.
I much appreciate that. I really appreciate it. I think they made a couple decisions to make it easy to get through that game. But moving on from Pittsburgh, Sam and shit. I actually really liked the sniper corridor. That was, again, Metal Gear Solid 4, you versus a sniper.
That was kind of a dumb moment. I didn't like that at all.
I liked it. It was kind of fun. I hated the part where you were the sniper. That was dumb.
Oh, that's what I meant.
Yeah, no, I'd like getting to the sniper. That was
cool. Yeah, that was cool. I just went around all the way to the left, and it wasn't an issue.
I did exactly the same thing. Yeah, I did that too. Left, man. Left is the way to go. So that was fun. And then, what's his face? Sam and the dude shoot themselves. And that was pretty cool. Like, I was pretty...
That was intense.
I knew that kid got bit, like, as soon as...
As soon as he was depressed.
Okay? He's like, yeah, I'm fine.
Yeah, well, I was like... Yeah, come on. I was like, come on.
Again, I had a moment where I was like, you gonna die.
But the way they did it, I like. Like, they could have done like a long drawn out, no, don't kill him, no, don't shoot my brother, and it was just fucking, it was just bam bam bam.
I was like, oh man,
it was just bam bam bam. Black screen.
That was pretty intense
for a couple of seconds.
Shooting himself was intense.
Yeah, especially with like, I actually thought he'd shoot Joel. Like, for a while there, I thought he'd shoot Joel.
I thought Joel was gonna shoot him.
Joel didn't have a gun out though, did he? Or did he?
Oh, he didn't.
Yeah, I don't think he did. He shot his brother.
He probably had one on him.
Oh, yeah. Well, Joel is covered in weapons at all times.
Joe's armed to the teeth throughout most of that game.
Yeah. One of my favorite things early game is if you go around talking to people in the first city, you get a lot of instances of like, dude, you know who that fucking is? That's Joel. Just fucking shut up. Like, there's everyone's scared. Everyone knows you and everyone's scared of you. And I have no idea why. Because it's
by the nine, it's the hero of Kavach.
Exactly. Exactly like that.
So yeah, like them shooting each other, him shooting himself, that was cool. Then it was fall. I think that was the transition from summer to, what was it? Was it summer?
That was the transition from being an okay game to being a good game.
Sure. If you want to put it that way, I disagree, but okay. Then it's the... Are you in horseback from there on? You're walking.
Tommy's like base.
Yeah, it was the first major costume change. I was like, hey, Joel looks like a lumberjack. He's like wearing that red, those red clothes, and I like that a bunch.
Yeah.
Going up
in the 90s. Seattle.
Exactly. It was great. So when I saw the power plant, I was like, oh, fuck's sake. We're going to have to crawl through a dark power plant, aren't we? I was so pissed by that point, but I just think the amount of combat in that game. When I saw that thing in the distance, I was like, oh God, we're going to go in there. It's going to be dark and I'm going to be turning on the electricity and I'm going to be crawling through corridors. And no, like just going up to the power plant and his brother's there. And that was, I thought, was like a pretty cool move on their part of like giving you an extended break from combat, because after there it's just like you walking through the power plant and looking at stuff, and then obviously the power plant gets attacked at the last possible moment, which was dumb
because it's a video game. Actually, no, because it's a form of entertainment. Movies do the same thing. Let's not get ourselves here.
Yeah, absolutely the same thing. It was cool because like little moments of his brother talking to his wife, like stuff like that was really well done, and I think completely forgotten because of what comes after it. But I want to remember just like how good the story is along, like as the game goes on, rather than just at the end. Like the him talking to his brother, then his brother talking to his wife. Those were actually really nice sequences, like especially with Ellie talking to Joel, her suspecting that he was going to leave her, and then her going, "What are they talking about? Why is he like arguing with his wife?" And Joel just goes, "Quiet, like just quiet, Ellie. Just
don't worry about it."
And then she just goes, "We out."
Yeah, and then she freaking rides away on a horse, and then more pointless, annoying combat, which I was.
No, it was really dumb. Which actually might be my least favorite part of that whole game. That's not in Pittsburgh. Is there's one part where like the horses like knock you off and get scared and run back, and then there's like the two buildings, and you'd kill like 10 dudes, and then you just get back on your horse and keep going.
Yep.
Yeah.
It served no purpose whatsoever except for, oh, we need a combat section here.
Yeah. And the only reason I like that sequence is I discovered that bladed weapons like the axe are always one hit kill.
Oh, yeah.
So good. Like there's an axe right there as you're walking up. I just picked it up. I was like, I'm going to use this thing. And it was just like fucking carnage from there on. That was pretty fun. But that was entirely pointless. And I'm only not angry about that because of my thesis statement about the game later on. Anyway, whatever. So that happens. And then one of the best scenes in the game happens with Joel talking to Ellie and him. I'm not your father. You're sure as hell not my daughter. And we're going our separate ways. That was fucked. I was almost in tears from that.
Real talk.
Just real talk. Just. Huh. And the scary part is like some of that is ruined in the trailers for it. Because you get like little parts of Ellie's dialogue in there. Like, everyone has left me my entire life except for fucking you, and she pushes him, which I think is a fantastic like little touch. And then
so once again, like with Bioshock Infinite, I just avoided all the trailers,
because
I wanted to go in fresh.
Exactly.
And I remember watching like the gameplay review, and that's about it.
Yeah, me too. Do you mean the first I saw the Spike TV like announcement,
the Spike TV watched, like VGA one,
and then the E3 demonstration from last year.
Well, those were. Yeah. They're both just strictly gameplay to my knowledge.
Yeah, there was like no story.
Yeah, no story, which I'm so happy they did because me too, I didn't see that. I didn't know. I was still surprised that Joel was going to give away Ellie. I thought after he started trusting her with his life, they'd be partners from there on. So it was a totally dick move in my mind when he started trying to push her off to his brother. So when she just said.
I think he just thought that it'd be safer for her. That like
I think he was scared of commitment at that point. Like he,
yeah, that's true. But he also, I think he wanted to just like
I also think
be rid of her so they both be better off.
It was also probably a little bit of I don't want to be responsible if something bad happens to you.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. Like he's so used to losing people as well. Like when they had that talk, he's like, "You don't understand loss or pain." And obviously she does, but in his mind, he's thinking of him losing Tess, him losing his daughter before that, and like pretty much everyone else he's known in his life, he's lost, except for his brother, maybe. And even then, his brother's gone his own separate ways. Like remember when you talk, like when you're approaching the thing, he's like the last thing words my brother said to me was like, "I never want to see your face again." And so like, he's lost everyone at that point. And he's realizing that he's starting to care for Ellie again. And he doesn't want that. He doesn't want that loss again.
Yep.
Because
if he throws her, not throws her away, but
she dies.
Sort of leaves her with someone else and she dies, doesn't matter to him nearly as much.
Exactly. And I thought that was, and her, like her statement of, "If you give me to someone else, I'll just be more scared," is like one of the most human moments in that game. Because not only the acting is superb and the animations are superb, but that says so much about who she is as a character, because she's a powerful like person. I'm not even going to say girl. She's just a powerful person. But the essence of human interdependence and caring for other people in a world which essentially has nothing else but that as redeeming factors is the underlying message of the game going like in its entirety. So like that scene, not only is it really powerful, it actually is really meaningful to me. So that's why I didn't want to skip straight to Winter. Moving on from there to Winter, Shin Boy.
Winter's coming, you guys.
Winter was awesome.
Winter was insane. Do you guys think that Winter is the best part of the game? I'm still
Wait, should we talk about right before that when Joel almost eats it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That was Winter.
Through the universe.
You're totally right. It's so, like, he talks to his brother. Brother says go to the university. He goes to the university. Monkeys. I thought the monkey thing was really cool.
Monkeys
were really cool. Thoughts on monkeys?
Not as cool as the other animals toward the end of the game.
Yeah. It was, like, the first hint of the world is kind of existing without you. But it's kind of not as well. Because remember that those monkeys are not native to America. Like, those are, like, lab monkeys who've broken free and started cooperating. But, and then same with the giraffes.
There are also there are other animals not native to America.
Yeah, I was just like, people have made like lots of statements about how they believe that those things are to indicate that nature moves on without humans. But my response to that is like, those animals, unless they adapt really quickly, will just die out anyway because they are not native to America whatsoever. Anyway, so Shinboy, why do you feel that the Joel almost dying sequence was your favorite part of that game?
Because not a lot of games make you think that the main character is going to die to that extent.
Did you think he was going to, like, I was doubtful that he was going to die.
I thought when he fell off the horse, he was done.
Yeah, that was really strong.
Yeah, because that's really even if you go back throughout history, like a knight, I guess, falling off his horse is like the biggest shame he can have.
Right, yeah.
A call who can't ride is no call.
Exactly. Exactly.
And like he just seems beaten at that point. Like when you get stabbed and like just popping out of cover takes you so long from there. Like Ellie
jumping over like a desk, just fall to the ground.
And then like just hitting
and you still shoot bandits anyway because you're
cuz he's Joel. Because he's motherfucking Joel, but like just like pushing forward on the analog stick, he's just like knocking up against stuff, and like the animations are incredible. Like him crawling, like people always talk about how Nathan Drake always used to like put his hand against the wall when he's close to a wall. This was like that evolved like to the next level because he had to like lean against stuff and like drag himself along desks and shit to get forward. And
I was experimenting with the control there, and you could totally walk that straight, or you can bump into everything, and the animations flow so seamlessly.
Yeah. Well, I kind of ended up doing both by accident, but yeah, it's...
I kind of, like, I was, like, all the way on the right of one thing. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to push this stick all the way to the left. And he straight up just walked straight to the left and almost fell over a table.
That's...
I'm like, okay, Naughty Dog.
Yeah.
You put some work into this.
It was...
Their animation team is second to none.
I think I've read some developer reactions on Twitter as they play through that game, and, like... One of the reactions is, I like Last of Us. It's like watching people throw money at your eyes. Like, it's apparently those animations are really, like, really expensive, not only in terms of RAM, but also, like, how much money it takes to create them. So I'm even more impressed because I didn't even think
that. Ryan on the Bombcast was like, I wonder what the budget of this game was.
Yeah. Because all we know is that I'm kind of in agreement that I think Naughty Dog just has, like, blank checks from Sony now.
I think just Sony like, just give them as much money as they need.
Well, look at Team Ico, right? Like, in the time that Team Ico announced The Last Guardian, Naughty Dog has released Uncharted 1, Uncharted 2, and Uncharted 3, and The Last of Us. And all of them have been, like, incredible Metacritic successes. And The Last of Us is, like, one of the best new IPs of the generation in terms of just sales. Like, of course they just have fucking... blank checks, but it's good to see that those blank checks are visible in scenes like Joel stumbling down the hallway, which is kind of crazy to say, but it's definitely apparent there. And I love the way they play with the lighting.
The thing is too, I'm pretty sure they're a really large studio, but they're a one team studio.
I'm pretty sure they are too.
No, Naughty Dog is a two team studio. It's the Uncharted 2 was these guys, and then they started working on The Last of Us, and Uncharted 3 was their second team. They have a small
team.
Okay,
that makes sense.
Yeah, they have a smaller
team.
Man,
screw that next Naughty Dog game. I'm waiting for the one after that. I
know! Exactly. Like, it's like Star Trek. Every other one's going to be amazing. Like,
I mean, the other ones are still pretty good. Let's not get crazy here.
Yeah, Uncharted 3 is not a bad game. It just didn't live up to Uncharted 2 in my eyes.
In theory, what they should have done is this team should have been working on Uncharted.
Nice.
As is Naughty Dog tradition.
Yeah, the kart racing game related to their big franchises. Oh god, I hope they never have Joel in a kart racing game.
No. It needs to be uncarted.
Alright, so what we're saying. Yeah, so I think that's another element of Ellie finally being just like really powerful as a person. With her fending off those dudes. She just like went, fuck it, I'll handle this. ran up the stairs and just gunned down like multiple dudes. And I love that you're only seeing flashes of it, or it's like most of it's happening off screen, but it still works. You can hear her, and she's like helping Joel and carrying him in some parts through the doors. And
I think that game does a really great job of making you care about Ellie like around the same time that Joel does.
Yeah, I like, totally
you're pretty much going through all the emotions that Joel is.
Yeah, and yeah, when because Joel's love of her somewhat stems from his need for survival as well. Like, not only does he need to fight for something, but she proves herself as a valid partner, just as Tess does. Like, if you look at that game, a bunch of people have partners. Like, Bill had a partner, and that relationship is funny and worth discussion itself, but we won't, because we're taking
hold on. Are you implying that those partners his hand?
they're gay, right? That's heavily implied, isn't it? Like, it's pretty...
Did you see the note in Bill's partner's house?
Yeah, and I gave it to Bill, and then I had that reaction shot as well. That was pretty fun.
Wait, what was that?
You didn't see that? Where Bill's partner is just like, I always hated you?
Oh, yes. Okay, I did see that.
It's really great. It's really solid. And Bill is just like, I hated that bastard too. But you know that they like probably had like an intimate relationship. But I actually didn't realize it was a gay relationship until that she brought up those porn mags, and I was like,
which is actually, I mean, I guess consider it a plus, because he's a gay character who that's not relevant at all.
Exactly, and same with Tess. She's a female character, and her being female is not relevant at all, like at all to that game.
All right, dog's breaking down all the barriers.
The Fireflies leader, she's female. That doesn't matter at all. She's just a person doing what a person. Ellie is strong as a person, not just as a girl. And
let's be real here. Leader of the Fireflies, she's a big old bitch.
She's a bitch.
She's essentially Daisy from Bioshock Infinite.
But she isn't as much of a bitch as David is a bastard.
mean Nolan North himself.
I'm so happy that I didn't ruin that for you. I remember having a discussion. I was like, Tishin, what, do you know who David is? And he's like, no, but I think I've seen him somewhere or something. And
I'm like, I know that voice. I just can't place it. Yeah. To be fair, it's not Nolan North as Nolan North.
No, it's not Nolan North playing Nolan North in a video game. He actually does a really great. I didn't know it was Nolan North at all until I
saw. Then again, like, neither is Troy Baker as Joel.
Yeah.
I want to use this opportunity right now to pitch my game that I pitched to Shinboy before. But now that people are listening, I can get it out there. I want someone to make a Nolan North game where you play as Nolan North, and all of the characters in the game are voiced by Nolan North, except Nolan North, who is voiced by Troy Baker. Somebody make this happen. It doesn't have to be Naughty Dog. It can be anyone.
Because most of that is pretty close to what Deadpool is. It's Nolan North playing Deadpool and every other character in that game, which is kind of funny.
Yeah, but... no one likes Deadpool.
Except that's a bad game.
Yeah, so that's a bad game.
With a bad character.
I want to play as Nolan North, but I want to hear Troy Baker doing his best Nolan North impression.
I would pay good money for that. I would pay good money.
I would pay upwards of $60 to play that game.
But before we get to David.
You run into other famous voice actors that are all voiced by Nolan North.
Like,
yeah.
I bet he could do pretty good impressions. Like, I bet he can do impressions pretty bad.
I want to hear.
I heard his demo reel, and he does like a lot of.
Oh yeah, he's man's got range.
Different voices.
Man's got more range. He has a lot of range.
I think my favorite example of that is the character he played in Ratchet and Clank with Crack in Time.
Well, who does he play in Crack in Time?
The robot dude. You play as Clank. I forget. Like
the guardian, the little guardian dude with the really high pitched voice.
Yeah.
Whoa, cool. That's Nolan North.
That's cool. You
know
that?
No.
I saw the credits at the end. It's like Nolan North. It's like, oh my god,
he's in everything. Which is true. I also they did a fantastic job of hiding the fact that Nolan North was in this game as well. I love that Naughty Dog. He's just like a staple now of Naughty Dog. He's just like
Nolan North.
Gonna have you
was
in every game.
In Star Trek Into Darkness.
Was he?
He had a brief cameo.
Oh shit! I didn't see him. Anyway, before we get to David though, opening as Ellie was strong. I found that
totally
really
thought
strong.
That Joel was dead.
Yeah,
like 100%.
I did too.
Yeah. It's like another element sinker. Of them.
I thought
being...
you were gonna play the rest of the game as Ellie. Like, oh man, this is awesome.
Yeah, she's and you know what? She's pretty cool. Like her with that
she's
bow.
She's the best character in that game.
Was pretty bad. I disagree, but I think her with that bow is pretty badass. Like she's like a legitimately cool character to play.
Young Lara Croft.
Yeah. All right. It's so except I didn't want to bring up the direct comparison, but it exists, right? Like it. she's essentially Laura Croft in that scene, like Lara. Hunting. Lara.
Lara Croft.
Lara Croft. Exactly. Yeah, and you're right. Like, it's another element of them being really subtle with the storytelling, because you don't see Joel die, and you don't see him recover immediately either. Like, it's just straight up. You're playing it by breaking straight to being Ellie. You kind of infer a bunch of things, whether that be that Joel's dead or she's finally, like, she has to fend for herself. That's what you're inferring, and it's kind of crazy being her and hunting. And also, that hunting minigame was fun. Now, do you guys fail at any point in that? Like, I missed the first shot, but after that,
I didn't realize. I thought it was going to be like, this thing's going to run away, chase it till you get to point X, and then cutscene.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize you actually had to shoot it a few times at first.
Oh, okay, yeah, sure.
I didn't fail. I just kind of like shot it, like let it run around, and sometimes it would just run away from me, and then other times it would shoot it. So
it was like legitimately hunting, because you had to shoot it and then it would run off, and you had to follow the blood trail.
Mm-hmm. Like, for me, the first time I did it, I missed. And then I was like, fuck you. And I went full stealth.
The best part is that, like, Ellie, like, curses at herself when you miss.
Yeah. It's great. But the main thing I wish I did in that sequence was open her backpack. Because apparently there's stuff in her backpack that I didn't see.
Is it all the comic books that you find for her?
I think there's, like, a note from her mother and, like, the toy from Sam is in her backpack. And I miss all that stuff. I really want to go back and watch that note from her mother, because she like says stuff to herself after reading.
Gotta do that in New Game Plus,
or you can just chapter select, I think,
or you can just YouTube.
That works too.
Yeah. So that was really good, and tracking it felt like tracking, which I think is awesome. It's again like Naughty Dog just like effortless. Like, they did a stealth game in a way that no one has done as well since Kojima, in my opinion. And they
made a better stealth game than most modern stealth games.
Yeah,
a better stealth game than Arkane, the studio that did Dishonored.
Yeah, they did. They did.
You always had to beat that drum.
They just like effortlessly, fuck it, we're going to do a stealth game. They did a stealth game, then fuck it, we're just going to do hunting. And they did fucking fantastic hunting. And yeah, so you move on. Then you meet David. So did you guys immediately suspect David?
Oh, I did.
I was. It was kind of like an element of, like, you know how you grow to like Ellie whilst Joel likes Ellie. For David, it was like I was suspicious of him, and Ellie was suspicious of him as well. And then as Ellie grew to trust him, I grew to trust him, which is kind of
cool. The same thing happened to me.
I was suspicious of him, but not for the reasons that I should have been.
Why?
I don't think anyone really saw that coming.
I was just like, oh, this is a guy who has an opportunity to just, you know, take someone out because it'll benefit him.
For the deer.
Not that he actually recognizes you.
See, I thought he was going to, like, discover that she was immune and then she, like, turn her into the fireflies.
I just thought he'd kill her for the deer. Like, that's pretty much.
Yeah, like, this is an easy opportunity.
And I guess it says something about my opinion of humanity in that game, because that is
perfectly. Or in general.
Yeah.
It's valid.
It's valid. All right. Straight up. Like, that was a fucking deer. You could probably live for like a couple weeks off a deer. So, yeah. And then it was a, what's his face? What's that movie? The really great one with the great opening by Tarantino. It was Inglourious Bastard. It was an Inglourious Bastards-esque scene when he turned the tables. Like, the start of Inglourious Basterds was that amazing scene in the
house. In the French guy's house.
Yeah, and he's just talking. Like, he's just talking, and the music is doing it, but his delivery isn't particularly, like, that crazy. Like, he's not that evil. And he doesn't come off at evil until much later. He's just, like, a dude who hates you because you killed his dudes, like, his friends. But he does it in, like, the most insidious way of, like, giving you the drugs and letting you lead him to Joel. Like, as soon as he gave her the drugs, I was like, dude, you're just gonna lead them to Joel. You're gonna lead them to Joel, right? And she takes it and she runs off, and I was like, oh no, this is exactly what's gonna happen. But that was fantastic. Like, his delivery and that music in that sequence was awesome.
Just like, they were killed by a crazy guy traveling with a little girl. And I was like, oh, shit.
Oh, shit.
They're going to die.
Speaking of the music, one of the things I really appreciated about this game was the fact that there was very little music throughout most of it.
Like, I was saying
there's barely any in the cutscenes, like even the combat scenarios.
I was saying at the Cynic, when we were comparing music in games the other day, I think it might have been yesterday, I was just like, my favorite part about the music in The Last of Us is the lack of it in most sequences.
It just feels that all the more grounded in reality.
Yeah.
Not even that. It just helps, like, the atmosphere is saying there is nothing here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like for much of the, I think almost all that hunting sequence had no music. It was just the sound of the wind, the sound of the deer, and the sound of you moving through the snow. And that was it. And that was.
But I will say so that strong. Song that plays during the menu, I really like that song.
Well, yeah. Like, the Last of Us is good music. It's just.
High quality main menu. Just going to throw that out there.
High quality. Agreed.
Best main menu since L.A. Noir.
It's Gustavo Santaolalla, which I had to look up how do you say that word, because it's spelled Santaolalla, and you just say Santaolalla.
That's probably how you say it.
Sure. So according to them, it's Santaolalla, and he does fantastic music in this game. Like, I just love pretty much every track, but I will say that if you actually get the soundtrack, almost all of them are the same. And it's kind of like they chose to go along the movie route where, like, for The Road, for example, most of the game does just not use music. And so the fact they own, like, most of the tracks are only like a minute long because they only really use them in like particular beats during the story. Like, there's about 30 tracks and almost all of them are less than 2 minutes. And they do that because obviously they're playing for a minimalistic style, but the problem with that is almost all of them sound the same. Because it's just like that they're hitting that particular chord both emotionally and on the guitar in those sequences that they just don't need too much different types of music. And that's why I personally believe that Bioshock Infinite has better music, but we'll get there later.
There's also more of it.
Yeah, just more of it, more variety. Like, God Only Knows is one of my favorite tracks in a game ever. Anyway, so David's. So did you guys see how that, like, did you guys kind of call how that played out or not?
With his, did we put the pieces together in our head when Ellie was figuring it out?
No, just like from there on. Like, did you think that she'd fight her way out herself, or did you think that Joel would come?
Like, Joel rescue her?
Yeah,
yeah. I was kind of expecting Joel to like come in the last second and like blow his brains out.
In fact, like the whole time she was like getting captured, I was like, oh shit, Joel's gonna fucking go ape shit on these fuckers because as soon as she said penicillin. You know Joel's alive, right? Or she needs medicine. You know Joel's alive.
Yeah, pretty much.
And she goes back and she injects him with it. And I knew at this point that it's going to be a video game recovery period where he just gets injected and just immediately recovers.
Right? He just sees like green numbers go up. And he's like, oh.
I knew that was going to happen. But the way Joel goes apeshit was awesome. And the way that Ellie still didn't need him in the end. Like, she leads them off.
That interrogation scene is crazy.
He's just fucking. Also, Noel North is both those dudes.
Of course he is.
Of course.
Is that basically is that like subtext of Joy Pager basically taking over Noel North's position?
Maybe. But I find that really, really fantastic when I saw the motion capture of that stuff, and it's just fucking Noel North. But yeah, like, that was dark. Like, you get in many points of this game, you know Joel is a bad person. But the way he treats those dudes, like killing the second guy anyway, for example, or like just like when he's running down the empty streets going, where's Ellie? Where'd you take her? I knew he was just going to fucking fuck them up, like no matter what they did. So that was cool. But perhaps more importantly, Ellie gets out on her own. And I found that awesome. Like, both from a gameplay standpoint, because unlimited shivs is the best thing ever with that knife. Like, I find it funny that Joel has to make shivs the entire game, but Ellie just has a fucking knife and it never breaks.
And they never break.
It's so good. So good. But, yeah. Wait, what's happening? What's happening here? Yeah, I'm sorry. Shimboy chose to comment upon my opinion. I'm right. I do talk too much about this game. But anyway, I find it important that Ellie fights out on her own, and I find that really a good thing for both her character and the way that game plays out. Because, like,
I love
her...
how...
Go ahead.
Oh, wait. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. I've been talking too much.
No, you go ahead. Okay, fine. I love what they did where you would play as Ellie and then you would play as Joel, and mm-hmm. like they would both kind of like meet toward the center. Thought yeah. that was really well done. Except for the fact that some of the Joel sections were kind of a pain.
Which ones were those?
I thought pretty much
like during when the blizzard started. Like,
I thought the blizzard was awesome.
I thought the blizzard
was awesome, but also made the game way harder.
Oh yeah,
I thought it made it easier because they couldn't see you close up.
Yeah, but then you couldn't see them, and then they would see you.
But you could see them with like the hearing thing because science.
I thought, well, at that point when I was Joel, I was in Rambo mode because I want my Ellie back, and I just gunned down fucking everybody on the way.
I ran out of arrows fairly quickly because I just started like bowing everyone.
Ran out of ammo as Ellie just in general, so I had stealth kill to get ammo.
Yeah, I really like that, like her running away from the cannibals, and you just having the knife and nothing else. That was pretty cool. It was like, I mean, it just comes up, get a gun, and you get the revolver, and I thought that was all really well done.
One of the cool things about this section, actually one of the most striking like images that will be forever ingrained in my mind from mm-hmm. that game, is from that section where you're sneaking across the street as Ellie. You know when you go into like the arcade?
Yes.
There was like one dude, after I killed the two guys in the arcade, there was mm-hmm. one dude who was walking near the entrance, and I was outside.
Yep.
And I snuck up behind him and stealth killed him. But it was the animation where she jumps on his back
and just
and stabs him in the chest and rips it out. And because of where it was, just a streak of blood went across the one little sliver of the building.
Oh, man.
Huh. It was like such a stark contrast between the whiteness of everything around it.
And so, finally, the boss fight. Actually, the only boss fight they did? Only boss fight they did?
No.
Very good boss fight.
The bloater in the gym.
Oh, yeah, the bloater. Fuck the bloater.
That's why the beginning of the game is lame.
Fuck the bloater. It wasn't hard. And the scripted,
between that and the scripted runners before you get into the school.
Yeah, that's the specific element I was talking about before, but I'm just not liking how much combat there was.
I just don't like the runners in general.
Yeah.
Like, they're annoying.
But, like, they just effortlessly did a fantastic stealth boss. Like, of the same quality of almost anything in Metal Gear. Like, that was awesome. The burning building, sneaking.
Broken plates on the ground.
Is that the first time that you can actually alert enemies by breaking stuff? Because I don't remember doing that before.
I think you could do that early on, I think.
I mean, not like stuff in the... I mean, obviously bottles and bricks, but aside from that, I think so.
Because I don't remember, like making sound with my foot on something and then an enemy getting alerted.
I think, like, you know the bottles you can pick up? I think if you, like, walk toward them, like, they'll knock over and they'll make sound.
Oh, does that alert people? I don't know. I haven't tried it.
It might just alert the tickers. I don't remember.
But it was cool in this instance because the game plays decently enough that you completely feel in control. Like, at no point in that did I feel frustrated because of the controls of the game. It just became a pure stealth hunt down sequence, especially the last part where he goes stealth as well.
That was so scary. You actually need to like look around and pop up to try and see him.
Yeah, and also, or I just like waited till he spoke or like shouted because he tries to taunt you into fighting him. And I
also the broken plates and stuff applied to him as well. So if he moves and steps on a plate, you can hear it. So you actually have to use like hearing in not the game terms, as in like you actually listening.
Yeah. That you have to be the only
part
to the sound.
I didn't like about that boss fight, which is part I didn't like about the game in general, mm-hmm. is that like toward the end where Ellie's down and he has to like crawl to get the knife.
Yep.
But you have to like press whatever button it was moving. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it wouldn't always work. He didn't know what button to use and then I'd just die constantly. That was pretty frustrating.
I died once because I thought I just hit forward and expected her to go. And
yeah, I did the same thing. And then next time I like tried like mashing X, but then
it didn't work.
Well, I died once in that boss fight because he snuck up behind me
and shivved
and stabbed me through the chest.
Yeah,
with a machete.
That was fucked. How'd you really like that boss fight? Because it just played so well. Anyway.
And I love how when Joel runs in, like Ellie basically just breaks down. She's like, she can't even handle what's going on anymore.
Just slashes his face.
That was so powerful.
Bajillion times.
Yeah, her again, Joel doesn't save her. She picks up the fucking knife and does the business herself. And she wins, essentially. But then Joel was there at the last moment just to see the aftermath. In fact, that track is track 18. It's called Aftermath, I think. And
she just starts like crying and breaks down. I think that really like showed her humanity in a good way.
Yeah. And that was the third time, I think, in the game, or the second time in the game at all. The third time. Joel says the word baby girl means so much in this game. Because
yeah, I noticed that.
He said it in at the start of the game where he puts Sarah to sleep. Then he says it one more time when Sarah dies. And then he says it when, what's his face? Then the Ellie here, like while he's hugging her. It's the first time he's ever called her that, he calls her baby girl. And that's when I knew that Joel had fully turned the corner and now just considers Ellie his daughter. And that was really important from a character standpoint. Mm-hmm. And then spring happens. So
that's sort of like that actually strong. Sort of sets the stage for all of spring.
Yeah. All of spring. It's that moment provides the impetus in terms of just like character building and like where the characters are going, like character progression for the rest of the game. I swear the giraffes, man. Those giraffes.
Giraffes of fear. Best giraffes in video games.
GOTY, giraffes of the year.
I wonder if they mocap those giraffes.
I want to see a giraffe in one of those suits now.
It's like the super secret behind the scene video. You have to beat the game survivor mode to unlock it.
Also, I was kind of just like, man, there's a lot of meat on one of those giraffes.
Nice, you bastard! Can you shoot a giraffe?
Survivor mode engage.
Can you shoot the giraffe? I don't know if you can.
I don't know. I didn't try it because I'm not a wild person.
Yeah, like, I didn't try shooting Ellie. I did try shooting Elizabeth. I tried that once, and I forgot what happened. But I never tried to shoot Ellie.
I don't think
Ellie.
The game lets you.
Imagine if you could shoot Ellie shoot and she just dies, and then you have to like restart.
Then the game.
Then the game ends.
You get a game over. Then you have to buy another copy.
You defeated.
But no, like I found that those giraffes incredibly powerful.
And then the music that plays during it also.
Yeah, and it was another element of really subtle storytelling because like it starts with you in that bus station and she's just sitting there looking dejected. And she's just sitting there looking dejected. And that's it. Like that's all it takes for them to convey her emotional state.
I went to look up to see if the Salt Lake City Zoo, which I assume was a real thing, and I think it is.
It is.
Remember looking it up to see if they had giraffes. I don't remember if they do.
I think someone found a sign earlier in the game which says like X Zoo now has giraffes.
New giraffe exhibit.
I'm talking about exhibit. Like in reality.
Well, this is also the future.
Yeah, it is the future. But yeah.
No, so maybe like shit goes know, down in I'm, 2013.
I'm not sure
means
Salt
this
has
is
giraffes.
If you add
2013
years,
is not over. Salt Lake City could get giraffes like next week.
I'm also just saying that this means this takes place in 2033.
This does.
Metro. We now know what caused the apocalypse in the Metro universe.
Yep. Nuclear apocalypse caused by virulent infection in America.
Well, because the Metro universe is purposely really vague and ambiguous about what caused everything.
Yep. Yeah.
Anyway, moving on.
I actually bet it was pretty – that was a nod. I bet they did that as a specific nod to Metro.
I doubt it. I think it's just because it came out in 2013 and shit goes down in 2013.
I want to believe that every video game ever is connected in some small way.
But they chose 20 years.
Well, I mean,
for
Watch Dogs is the modern Assassin's Creed.
It's true. It is the modern Assassin's Creed. One-to-one.
One-to-one loading screen.
I actually really like the loading screen in this game for some reason. It's pretty cool.
Well, no, besides the fact that they take forever.
For me, it didn't take...
It was weird.
I don't take it long
the
at
The first
all.
One took, like, at least a minute.
Yeah, I got, like, the loading number in the corner.
Mm-hmm.
Like the first time I booted up the game and then didn't get it again every time I loaded up the game until the last time I loaded up the game.
Weird.
Doesn't it cache or like stream some stuff?
I don't even know. It was just like it bugged out when loading.
And for me, I have the digital download version and it never took long enough for loading to appear in the bottom right hand corner. I didn't even know that word appeared in the bottom right hand corner.
Because read speed from discs.
Yeah, exactly. Fuck yeah, running shit off drives. I'm sold on digital future already.
I just didn't want to pay full price for a digital game on a console.
Fair.
I don't even have enough space on my hard drive, my PS3, man, to download that.
Yeah, it's like 20. I think you need 40 gigs free to download it.
Yeah, I definitely do not have that.
I downloaded Vanquish, so it's all good.
Yeah.
Also, getting back to the giraffes, that was the moment where I was like, this is not going to end well.
A lot
this
of people say the exact
like
thing.
The calm before the storm.
Yeah, I actually really like how they spent like 30 minutes of just like no combat, nothing, on the way to the drafts and off the drafts a bit.
The best part about the game is when you're not fighting.
Yeah,
I agree. When they control your movement speed.
I totally agree.
Also, the walking downstairs animation when you're in walk mode is really good.
Is it? I think it... I don't remember.
You're like swaying your arms.
So did you guys run through environment? I always just walked.
No, I always walked. I walked most of the time.
Yeah, so I don't know what the running upstairs animation is.
Or do it like the slow jog.
Right. Yes, I never even did
the reason slow jog. I said that like down the stairs animation was really good is because I noticed I was walking down the stairs like that, like in work one day. I was like, oh man.
Nice. Just the way your arms move when you walk down the stairs. Yeah, yep. Totally. Yeah, totally. So much money put into animations in this game. What the fuck, Naughty Dog? Anyway. So yeah, the giraffes were important. How long did you guys leave them standing there against that? Like,
I don't know, maybe like 15 seconds, and I was like, time to move on.
Nah,
they didn't like a minute.
For me it was a while.
Or
I was,
like, not even, like a little less than a minute.
I went until they started like disappearing completely, which was not that long.
I just let them stand there for like 5 minutes, and it was just...
Starts walking into the trees. I'm like, because okay.
Unlike Shinboy... I think it was. Oh no, Shinboy, you played this part as well. But for me, I went through all of winter and all of like up to the giraffes and just up to like a little bit past the giraffes in one sitting. So
I did mostly, yeah.
Yeah, but so that by that point, I'd went through winter and I was just like feeling so emotionally wrought that the giraffes were just like they pushed me to a place where I just when they give you the option to sit against that windowsill. I just let them sit there, and I was just myself catching up and them catching up at the same time. It felt like that. Anyway.
Do you guys play this game in, like, short bursts or, like, in long stretches?
I played it in short bursts.
See, I played it in long stretches, which I heard from a lot of people, like, is not the way to play. But for me, like, I just didn't want to stop because I wanted to see what was going to happen next.
Yeah. Like, for me,
I was only like that after Pittsburgh.
Yeah, exactly. Like, up until pretty much winter... Or like up until like just before he gets hurt in the in fall, I played in like 2 to 3 hour chunks. I couldn't play any more than that. I just
had a legitimate feeling at the end of Pittsburgh when the bridge is out. I was like, no, I'm gonna be stuck in this shitty level forever.
but yeah, after he got hurt, I played the rest of the game in two sittings. I just could not stop playing.
I played it maybe 2 or 3 sittings. It wasn't a lot. Yeah.
Mine was 3. I was also trying to marathon it before I had to leave.
Oh, right.
But
I failed horribly.
Yeah, it's all right.
Anyway, so Drops was awesome, and then the end of the game happens.
Hold on. That tunnel, yeah. Right? I don't know. I was telling Reyes. Things went real south for me really quickly in that tunnel.
How so?
I remember telling him on Steam to just like, dude, it's really easy. Just sneak past everything. It'll be fine.
Yeah, I screwed that up.
I could not sneak past them.
Like, I snuck past the first group and killed the 3 guys in the hallway on the side because that was easy.
Yeah, okay. I did that too.
And then I went to the second one and I threw a bottle to get the runner right like near the wall up.
Oh, God.
And I went to go stealth kill him. And in the middle of doing that, happened to alert one of the runners on the other side and the clicker and both bloaters and was just like, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. I ran back into the tunnel, right? And the things like sort of came close to the tunnel. So I ran back out past them because they're all slow as hell because the runners were dead at that point.
Yep.
And up to like where you had to go. But because there are enemies close enough by, it wasn't letting me because I think Ellie was still like back further.
Right.
So I had to like run back into them. All the while, I'm just like throwing bombs, Molotovs, smoke bombs, like everything I can throw, I am throwing.
Oh, God.
Run back again all the way to the far end of the tunnel. Alert the clicker there that I had previously walked past. So he's running towards me and I turn around to run back through the area where the 3 runners were that I killed previously. And there's a bloater just standing there in the middle of the hallway. So I throw my last smoke bomb and just haul ass past him and run without stopping from there all the way to the trailer that you need to hop onto. Pretty much the length of the entire tunnel. By then they had broke aggro and I could jump up.
Yeah, it was really bad for you, man.
It was like a solid minute of me just holding down the sprint button and just throwing everything I had.
I had a similar situation happen to me where I tried to stealth kill a runner, but then like as it was killing him, it alerted all the clickers. So I basically ran back through the door like to the right and just had them all like climb up, and I took out my flamethrower and just lit them all.
Flamethrower is OP. Flamethrower is OP.
I made it through that game without firing the flamethrower.
It is really good.
At that point, I was like, you know what? I'm not even bothered trying to stealth these guys. I'm just going to light them all on fire.
Rambo this shit up. No, for me, it was, I got through the whole thing, because the hallway on the right-hand side is a trap. I saw that and I was like, that's a trap. So I just went through the normal, straight up, the waterway, all the way through, snuck past everything. At the very last second, I got impatient, so I went like, because you can, for bloaters and clickers, you can go really slow and it's fine, but if you just go a little bit faster, they see you. So I was at the last two bloaters. And I just went a little bit faster, and then just immediately, bloater turns around, grabs me, and eats me. I'm like, oh, fuck. And then I had to do the whole thing again, but I just went the same way, just kept it quiet, calm, got through everything, not a single shot fired, done. It was cool. It was awesome. So, what would you guys have done in Joel's circumstance at the end there?
Wait, hold on. Like at the very end when you get into the OR or like the operating room there?
The hospital. But do you guys want to talk about the hospital first, or do you want to talk about the...
I mean, that's a level.
The underwater stuff. Game level. The underwater stuff.
I mean, that was very brief.
Yeah.
Not really, when Ellie drowned?
Yeah, when you think Ellie's drowned was pretty...
I mean, I would have not done what the dude said and tried to save her too.
Yeah. What
you're talking about. I would
have
done that too.
At least I would have
said to him, like, hey, why don't you help me?
Like, the part where Ellie almost dies, and then you take her out of the water, and then you try to resuscitate her, that was pretty cool. I knew she'd live, though. Like, come on. At that point, I was like, Ellie's gonna live. Come on. And
I don't know. I was getting a little suspicious toward the end.
It was like, she was only underwater for, like, a minute. And people have easily lived through that before.
It is a video game.
Yeah, and it's... And even beyond that, in real life, you can resuscitate someone with their heart stopped for 5 minutes, let alone just underwater for a minute. So she'd be fine. But it was still like really powerful because Joel thought she was going to die. I didn't, but Joel did. And it was pretty cool because it was like almost the exact same thing as his daughter in the start of the game, where he's like, can't you see she's dying? Or in the first start of the game, it's like, can't you see her leg's broken? This part of
it. And then it was like, I think there's a bit of like an, oh no, not again.
Yeah, exactly. And then they knock him out. I'm surprised they were able to, because Joel would have gone ape shit on them if he was in a different like emotional place, I think. But
he did a similar thing where you're running out of the hospital while you're carrying Ellie.
Yeah.
Basically just like exact parallel to the beginning of the game where you're carrying Sarah. My heart kind of like sank a little bit. It's like, oh man, this is way too similar to the beginning of the game.
So when you're sitting there in like the when you're lying there on the operating like table or whatever it was, like the seat, the bed in the hospital, and she's explaining to you what she's doing, like the leader of the Fireflies, who's Marlene, I think her name is, is explained to you what they're doing to Ellie. I had no idea how to feel, because
the best part of that is right at the end of that scene when he's just like, it grows all over the brainstem. She's just like, yes, it does. Turn around, walk away.
Yeah. It's just... Shit's rough.
Cold.
Shit's Everything rough. Was implied.
Yeah.
Stone cold.
Just stone cold. And she did the speech Joel did to Ellie, but to Joel. And I found that kind of crazy because she meant it. When she said, I've lost more people than you have, I was just like, holy shit, this chick probably actually has. She was the leader of the Fireflies. The Fireflies are almost wiped out. Those people were like her family, essentially. And she just continually has had all her family die for the last couple of years. So when she says she's willing to sacrifice Ellie, it means a lot. But obviously to Joel, it means fucking nothing, because Ellie's his daughter now, essentially. So when he turned around and was being let out, I don't think it is intelligent to be rude to someone like Joel. Like, dude with the gun behind Joel.
Not a good life decision.
Yeah.
Don't
mess with Joel. He just took a girl in a way the Fireflies couldn't all the way across. He fought all the way across the country with one girl. Just him and a girl. By himself, essentially. you don't mess with that guy. But that whole time, personally, I was still stuck in video game mode in my head. Like, when I was talking to Shinboy, I was really against everything Joel did as soon as he took the dude's gun and shot him. Like, I was just like, Joel, what are you doing? Joel, this is for humanity. Joel, what the fuck? Leave Ellie alone. This is her choice. Because in the giraffe scene, she's like, she kind of knows. You kind of get the idea that she knows that she's going to die in the art.
She's just like, this can't all be for nothing.
Yeah.
That's like the sort of become the de facto tagline for the game as a whole.
Yeah. And like that's her statement. And it's in the trailer as well. Like, they use that tagline in the trailer as well. And so I had the feeling that if I was just a person who didn't know or love Ellie, I would have let her go through that decision. And at this point of the game, I was like completely against Joel. So when he started the long fight through the hospital, aside from me wishing they hadn't put so many enemies in the hospital, it would have been way more subtle if there was only like a couple of dudes in the hospital. That would have been better. But whatever, video games. And it climaxes when you go into the surgery. So what did you guys do in the surgery?
Murdered the fuck out of everyone.
Oh God, did you? I only killed the first guy.
No way. I like straight up meleeed all three people.
So I actually walked over to the other guy to see if I was supposed to kill him, but I didn't get a prompt. So I was like, okay, these guys.
You pressed the melee button, and with him, you just sort of hit his head against the wall and he dies. And then with the girl, you hit her head. You like pretty much grab her by the head, lift it up, and smash her skull against the corner of the table.
Until she dies. It is.
That's what I felt like he would have done in that situation.
You're probably right, but I didn't know you could do that.
It's great seeing different people. Some people are like just so in the moment that they burst through the door and just shotgun the first doctor without anything from that doctor.
Man,
whatsoever.
I kind of wish I did that now.
They're just like, burp.
I had a similar thing happened in the first Mass Effect where there was a mission where you had to like go in and like capture someone.
Uh-huh.
And like I was shooting through so many guys that as soon as I went through the door, the guy like ran up to me. I just shot him with a shotgun. And then it's all like the objective thing is like, killed this dude. It's like, oh, whoops.
Whoops.
But I still completed the quest. So
Mass Effect, completely unrelated. My favorite part of that whole game is how you can talk the final boss out of the final boss fight.
Which one? What?
Wait,
you can?
Which
one? Oh, Saren?
Mass Effect.
You can talk Saren out of the fight? Oh, God.
Yeah.
I was never
like, I did that in the fight when he like goes all crazy. You can talk him out of it.
Oh,
he like kills himself.
Shit.
I did that in Fallout New Vegas where I just maxed my speech out and you go up to the, like the last dude and he just like convince him, take him and all of the Caesars, whatever you call the Imperials, to just like leave.
That's crazy. I never maxed speech. That's the problem. I always like...
Speech is the game, really.
I always get speech like halfway and I'm like, okay, that's good enough. I leave it there. I never really max it. But in this case, for me, I've got through... And again, like, I was completely disagreeing with everything Joel was doing. Like, I was just like, Joel, what the fuck are you doing, dude? This is her decision. She wants to die for
humanity. See, my problem with that is that, like, yes, like, if they had asked her, she probably would have went along with it, but they didn't. Instead, they just took her to the operating room and put her under. And she had no idea what was going on.
Absolutely.
So if Joel actually went up to Ellie and asked her, like, is this what you want? Then it would have been like a little bit easier.
And that's how I thought the game was going to end. Like, I thought the game was going to end with him, with Ellie sacrificing herself for humanity and Joel being alone again. I thought they were just going to do a copy paste, like repeat of the start at the end. And that would have been what I would have done as a director, because I'm not as good as Neil Druckmann, apparently, and have him crying as Ellie
managed
died.
To make it more dark by making it less dark.
Yeah, way more dark. So. But when I jumped into that room, I was like, dude, that's the last, probably the last brain surgeon on Earth. That is the last brain surgeon on Earth. I was like, don't shoot him. Do not shoot him, Joel. So I put away my guns and I just like walk slowly towards the brain surgeon. And then what the brain surgeon does is he grabs a fucking scalpel and comes at you. And I was just like, hit square. And then Joel just fucking grabs the scalpel out of his hand, just shoves it up his face. And it's just like,
that
oh God.
Great.
Oh God, what have I done? And then I go up to Ellie and I didn't see them because it's a really subtle prompt. They made it smaller than most times with the triangle prompt.
I noticed that.
So I didn't see it. So I was like, okay, I guess what Joel would do in the situation, even though me, myself, I was completely disagreeing with everything he'd do. I guess Joel would kill the nurses as well. So I go up to the female nurse, and at this point they're both just cowering. They haven't started begging for their lives yet, which sounds horrible when I say it that way, but I guess it's supposed to. So she's just cowering, and I just grab her neck and just fucking beat her. I think it's the same animation for her, but you just fucking just bash her head against that table until she dies.
And then I killed her first. This guys are like a mass murderer.
Yeah.
You guys are both horrible people.
And then I point my gun at the dude, because for some reason, when I pull my gun out, it was like locked on his head. I'm like, okay, video game. And he's like, no, don't kill me. So I'm like, okay, I won't kill you with my gun.
See,
you guys are both messed up.
I turn to the other guy, and he just starts begging for his life. And every other time in this game, when someone begs for their life, I'm like, fuck you. And I just kill them anyway. In this case, because I was disagreeing with Joel so much, I let him live. I was like, I turned around, checked to see if I can see the prompt on Ellie. The prompt came up, and I was like, okay, you live this time. And I picked her up, and I ran. And for me, the running sequence is my favorite part of that game. Not the other one, but this one, where you are running.
You're running with Ellie.
Running with Ellie, and that music is happening, and the lighting is there, like, all red, and then you see, like, the bright lights leading you forward as a direct, like, comparison to the start of the game. The bright lights, you running down the hallways with Ellie in your hands. And you're speaking to, and he's monologuing to Ellie, even though she can't hear him. He's like, it's okay, baby girl, I'll get you out, it's okay. And it's just this, and he says, baby girl there. And then he runs to the elevator. And sadly, the first time I did this, I got turned around at some point, and the animation was just like, it broke. So like, it was just like a blue sky with no hospital whatsoever. And then one dude walks up to me. It was just skybox. No hospital. It was just like maybe some ground. It was like black ground. Skybox. Dude walks up to me, shoves me over with Ellie in my arms, and then face stomps me into the ground. And I was like, oh, God. And then I replayed that sequence. But I've mentally like kind of put away that bug, because I only remember, like, if I think back to it, me running through the hallways with Ellie in my arms with that music. And then you get into the elevator, and then the game goes from being masterful to just masterclass. Like, I think that the ending is what makes this game, in my eyes, probably one of the best games ever made. So what do you guys think of the ending?
Pretty much summed up the entire, like, tone of the game.
Yeah.
Where, like, things are pretty hopeless, and even when you think there's hope, like, it's not really going to go well.
Yeah. Or like,
I think it's surprising because you don't see very many endings where it just ends with a straight up to your face lie.
Yeah.
The main character.
Not to my face, but.
Lies.
And then when it ends, I was just like, wait, it's over? Like, I was a little taken back.
There's been a lot of like dissection of it, of like the only times in almost all video games that the main character lies. The only times when people lie in video games usually is because they're evil. Like, enemies are the ones who lie. Main characters almost never lie to people in video games.
It's not, like, to a major story extent.
Yeah. Or, like, if it's a lie, it's, like, a dialogue choice, and you can pick the lie, and you lie, right? But in this case, half of the reason it's so amazing is because they don't give you choice. You have to kill that brain surgeon. Like, there's no way to progress without killing that brain surgeon.
You only have to kill the first one. You don't have to kill the other two.
You don't have to kill the nurses.
Yeah, you do.
You don't have to kill the nurses, but you have to kill the brain surgeon.
Whatever, man. They're going to kill me first.
And
I was in the moment.
There's no way.
I plead temporary insanity.
So many people
tell the judge.
So many people did exactly the same thing, Shin Boy. Well, more people. I think more people just shot them all than melee'd them all. But yeah,
Melee is way worse.
Melee is way worse. It's so much
it's more impactful.
Yeah.
Even physically, like literally and figuratively.
Though I think that like seeing the blood spray from them would have been pretty crazy if you shot them, but I never shot them, so I don't know. But like they remove all player agency at the end. Like when it cut to him driving away in the car, I was like, oh shit. Because again, I was disagreeing with Joel this whole time. I was like, oh thank God. I think he might
totally
have
just left her there.
Yeah, I think he might have left her. I think he might have finally.
No,
realized.
I knew he took her.
If you
like,
look at,
there's no way he's giving her up after that.
Yeah, if you look at the IGN comments, like a lot of them are like, if Ellie wasn't in that car, I was going to sell my PS3. I was like, lol.
And then you had to buy a PS4.
Because Naughty Dog is amazing.
Like, a lot of people agreed with Joel in that moment. And again, at this point, when I first reacted to this, I was entirely disagreeing with Joel. And so he, when him driving away, I love the way they intercut that, because it was essentially him driving away, you don't know what happened. And then
he was like, how did he get out of there? She was holding a gun to him.
Yeah. And then it flashes back and he does like the most fucking brutal shit. I've like some of the most brutal shit he did in that game. And that's saying a lot considering what he did. And playing through him shooting her, putting Ellie in the back seat, coming back out, exchanging some blood with her, and then just fucking, you're going to come after her. Bam. And that's it. And he's driving away. And then he lies to Ellie when she asks what he's doing. And I was
like, what was funny, which I thought like would have been kind of a neat touch, but I guess maybe not. Right at the very end, like skipping ahead a bit, but it's related. Mm-hmm. At the very end, when she's talking about how like her and her best friend, quote unquote, got bit. Mm-hmm. I was like, man, her best friend is totally Marlene, and who just killed the other person they could have used.
That
it's like, oh man, that would be way worse.
That would be worse. But
well, no, she said it would make sense. Didn't she say she eventually turned?
Yeah.
No, yeah. I mean, she went on to say that it was like a friend, you know, that was actually her.
Yeah, so that wouldn't have made much sense, but I know what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly. It would have been, but I
had like this moment of dread where it's like, oh no, he killed the other person that could have been used.
It just, I don't think they could have played it more grim though. Like, even if they did that, that would be probably less grim than how they played it out. Because, yeah. His lying to her was so powerful to me that I didn't expect that. So did you guys, either of you, expect that to happen? Like how that played out? Because I didn't. I forget to remember Curveball.
It made sense when he was lying to her the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Or like not, you know, in the truck still. But when she was just like, what you said back there, was that true? There was a brief moment on his face where he looked like he was getting ready to say that it wasn't. But then he just like hardens up.
Yep.
And goes stone cold.
He's like, swear it's true. He's like, I swear it. And then cuts to black.
Oh, no, then she goes, okay.
And she goes, don't swear to me! Or don't swear to God, swear to me!
Swear to me!
Her okay is one of the most powerful things I've ever seen in a video game, and I've said that multiple times but in this podcast alone. So we'll move on. That game was awesome.
That game's pretty good.
I'm probably in, like, the... Oh, yeah, and there's nothing off the credits, which I think is a good mark. But
people are probably going to get the impression that I was on that game. I really liked The Last of Us.
Oh,
I want to just get that out of the way.
I'm going to go scores. I think that game is somewhere between a 9.8 and a 10 for me out of 10. So,
you on your 100-point scale.
On my 100-point scale. I just really don't feel like I should give it a 10 because I did have some problems with it, like too much combat and a couple of points. Or
I don't... The way I score games in my head is I only rate them on a 1 to 10. How much did I like this thing?
Then it'd be a 10 for me.
That's, I feel, the most sincere way to do it.
Yeah.
I don't really like docking points if I have little nitpicky things. Because then reviews become too mechanical. And anyway, that's a different topic for another show.
Yeah, it's entirely different. So I'd give it a 10. You?
I would probably also give it a 10 just on a how much I enjoyed the whole package level.
Which is saying a lot, because you gave a 10 for Bioshock Infinite as well, right?
I did.
Yeah, there you go. Tyler?
The thing with me is that like I had like small problems with the game, but I almost liked the game more for those problems. Mm. Like the fact that the aiming wasn't like great, but at the same time, like that was kind of the point. The fact that it's not supposed to be like super precise. It's supposed to make it more difficult.
Yeah.
So that I really appreciated that for that.
I totally agree. What would you give?
I mean, like, obviously it has problems, but I mean, unless those problems
also has frame rate issues, which you can't really.
Oh god,
you guys have frame rate issues with that game.
There's one part in particular in the graveyard where there was a clicker that I aggroed. So I snuck past him initially, then he aggroed behind me, and I turned around with my shotgun drawn, and that game turned into a slideshow.
Oh wow, I didn't have a single frame rate issue with that game either.
I had frame rate issues.
You're also a dirty console gaming peasant.
Yeah. I had mostly frame rate issues when just like a ton of guys were running at me, and especially when like the bloaters would shoot spores.
Admittedly, another reason I don't like Pittsburgh is because most of the frame rate issues in that game are front loaded. Once you get to like fall, you don't really get it as often.
I think probably why I didn't have frame rate issues is because I played so much of the game pure stealth. So I never was engaging.
It wasn't a lot of the gameplay sections. Well, it was gameplay sections, but not a lot of the combat sections. It was a lot of the, we're going to walk through this big wide open area.
I
really
never
slow.
Had frame rate there. Ever had frame rate problems there. That's weird. That's crazy. Anyway,
Tyler, I'm not the only one. There's like a whole gaff thread about the frame rate being bad in that game.
Right. That's fair.
Well, aside from the frame rate, the whole game looks amazing for a PS3 game.
I agree. Score. Give us a score. I want to move on. Let's do this.
Tyler. Want me to give you a score?
Whole number out of 10.
Whole number out of 10. Scores.
Whole number out of 10.
Do it.
Give it a 10.
Yeah. All right. Three tens. In fact, that's... I think, what was it? Me, you... I think we gave it... Bioshock gave it like a 10-10-9. And I think that's... I'm the one holding Bioshock Infinite back. So this next section is going to be interesting.
I would give Bioshock Infinite a 9, I think.
Okay. You didn't at the time. That's the important part.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't give it any score at the time.
I don't think we forced him at the time. I think Thurbleton gave it a 9. I think Thurbleton gave
it a 9. You gave it a 10 in your review that you wrote.
I did.
Yeah. Because so now,
that's why, as we perfectly segue into the next section,
yeah.
I like Bioshock Infinite more than I like The Last of Us.
And I like The Last of Us more than I do Bioshock Infinite. And Tyler is undecided.
I like Uncharted 3 better than both of those games.
Really?
Really?
No, I'm kidding.
Okay, good. We're going to have to put
you said Uncharted was your favorite Uncharted. Uncharted 3 was your favorite Uncharted. I think you're crazy for
Uncharted
that.
Is my favorite Uncharted.
Uncharted 2 is my favorite Uncharted. But yeah.
That's a different discussion.
Yes, yeah, a different discussion. So the reason we sat down in the first place before I forced us to go through a Bioshock Infinite, Lost of a spoiler cast because I wanted to get that out of the way.
For 2 hours.
For an hour and a half. Bioshock Infinite versus The Last of Us. There are so many comparisons here for these two games. Like a lot of people say, I can't compare the two. Well, fuck you. There are so many things that are comparable between the games.
I mean, they are, honestly, apples and oranges. But
yeah,
that's why... I don't think we should compare and say which one's better. I think we should just say which one we like more, which we've already stated, but why?
Sure.
Yeah, that's perfect. Fair. I was saying before that I love both games, mm-hmm. but for different reasons. Like I think there are things that Bioshock Infinite does better than The Last of Us
right.
and vice versa, which is why I think they're both just great games.
So I think we should approach it in which of us like more Bioshock or The Last of Us in segments, so music, video, like graphics, story design.
I think graphics is a moot point. I think we just go sure. basically just art direction. I guess would be a better way to put it.
Yeah, art direction. Well,
it's hard
music,
because we all played on PC, and
so I mean,
looks way better out there.
It's also like
yeah,
they both look good. It's not really one. Right. Oh, this looks way better.
But the art direction is really disparate between the two. So we could state which one we prefer of the two. So art direction, music, and storyline. Those are the 3 points.
I mean, gameplay.
Oh, gameplay. Sure. Yeah.
Well,
gameplay.
I have other stuff I want to talk about later. But
sure.
We can get that.
So you guys want to start I want to start with music. Start with music.
This is tough because,
yeah,
like I said, like I would say I like the tracks better on Bioshock Infinite, but I like the fact that there's less music in The Last of Us.
I give the edge to Bioshock simply because they had like masterful use of songs that were not from that era.
And they contextualized them really well. Like
that's what I mean. It worked really well with the world.
Yeah. Like it's not just they made
the soundtrack of that game part of the world. So it had more part in the gameplay, because when you would get a headshot or there would be no enemies left, there would be a little tiny musical thing that would play.
Right.
Like a piano note, like off key.
Yep.
It's hard for me to judge personally because Bioshock Infinite never made me close to cry. I The Last of Us, when you listen back to Gustavo Santolio's album of it for The Last of Us, I was unimpressed by what I saw on there because they were so samey. But at the same time, the two tracks on there actually made me almost cry, which is, again, I have cried in video games before. I'm not one of those dudes who are manly. I just never got quite close enough to cry
Journey.
In this game. No, To the Moon, man. To the Moon made me bawl like a baby.
But, I haven't played it.
But what's his face? When Sarah dies and at the end of that game, where you're running through the hallways, I was like close to tears for both of those. And I never had that with Bioshock Infinite. But at the same time, Bioshock Infinite's music, not only was it really well done, the game. I don't think they're, even though they approach music really differently, I don't think Bioshock Infinite approaches it worse. I think they just approach it differently. Like, there's a reason. Go ahead.
I think the soundtrack is better in Bioshock Infinite, but the soundtrack in Last of Us is more effective.
Yeah,
the sound design in The Last of Us is fantastic.
Yeah. absolutely stunning. Well, yeah, I don't think there's even a comparison. Like, the amount of ambient noise, the way they use ambient noise, and the way they use the Foley work, just the Foley work in fucking The Last of Us is incredible. When she's moving through the snow, she sounds like she's moving through the snow. And I was
the sounds like, the clickers make are really creepy.
Yeah,
in a good way.
Just so good, and the echoes, and just
almost everything. Almost a Dice level of quality sound design.
I'd say almost, and only because I'd say it was just as good. But because The Last of Us needed less overall.
Because Dice goes all out with their gun profiles.
Exactly. Like, they have a million guns and you can't really
fight that. I was watching something that's kind of off topic, but I was watching something about before Battlefield 3 came out. Mm-hmm. Each weapon in the game, they went to a range and recorded it at different ranges for the gun being inside and you being outside and vice versa. Also, like, both you and the gun outside, both you and gun inside. And they did that for each weapon in the game for, like, six different ranges in, like, four different spots for each gun. It's crazy.
You know what's the crazy thing about The Last of Us is that the clickers were done by people.
Oh, yeah, I believe that.
And they're just straight up. They have video and the making of them doing the clicker sound, and it looks fucked up.
Even in the game, they're done by people. Like, those are... Basically, people have to be capable of making that sound in order for that to work.
I thought they'd taken, like, a horse or something and like, sped it up or something for that. That's what I thought they'd done.
The reason that sound is so effective is because people are doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. Now that I look back at it, that makes complete sense. But, like, there's the chick who first did the clicker sound. Like, when they first discovered the clicker sound, there's a chick who did it. And they have a video of her doing it, and it looks fucked up. Anyway. Okay, personal preferences. Which ones do you prefer, Bioshock Infinite or The Last of Us? I'm going to say that let's just say music and sound direction separately, because they're kind of different things. I prefer the music of Bioshock Infinite. I prefer the sound direction of The Last of Us.
I'm the same.
I agree. So the board.
Okay. Although I will say Bioshock Infinite has the advantage of having an old-timey cover of Shiny Happy People.
And the scene in the credits. Oh, I'm throwing that in with music.
No, yeah, you're right. That's part of the reason why I love the music from that game so much. It's just that scene with Troy Baker, and I keep forgetting the other chick's name, was great.
When I was watching that, I was just like, of course Troy Baker plays guitar.
Busted.
Like, man, he's sitting there with the guitar with, like, his hair all frayed and, like, that scarf thing on. I was like, god damn it.
He was totally that guy in college who was sitting outside with the acoustic guitar with all the women around him.
Triple threat, man. I was saying.
What do you mean in college? That's him now.
Yep.
Yeah.
He's still that guy.
On the show somehow.
Man, I would love to have Troy Baker.
Tweet at Troy Baker.
It would just be us man crushing all over Troy Baker. It would be really uncomfortable for everyone involved.
It would just be us going, like, can you do Joel? Now, can you do Booker? Now, can you do Joker?
Oh, man.
I would love to talk to Troy Baker.
Who do you guys like more, Joel or Booker?
Joel.
I like Joel.
Booker is a more likable character, I suppose, but Joel is a better character.
I don't know about that. They both did pretty bad
things.
They're
both pretty fucked up. But I think Joel is
more complex.
I actually like
Troy Baker's performance as Booker better.
I prefer Joel way more.
Part of the reason I like Joel is because it doesn't sound like Troy Baker. Like,
I don't think either sounds like
Troy Baker.
The
thing is, the thing that I like about his performance as Booker is that he has to get all that emotion out without the benefit of people being able to see his face.
True. But when I see moments like the opening of The Last of Us and that emotional scene, I don't care if he has the benefit of you being third person and watching him cry. He nails that shit. And I don't think he does anything similar to anyone else.
I just think the relationship stuff with Joel and Ellie is better than the stuff with Booker and Elizabeth, even though they're both amazing.
They're both amazing, but we'll get there.
I care more about Ellie than I did Elizabeth.
Well, let's just talk about the story now. Okay, let's break this up like we did sound design. Story direction and story. Which do you prefer? Which do you prefer? I prefer both the story direction and story of The Last of Us.
Well, if we're sort of wrapping universe into story, I would say Bioshock, because I guess if we want to separate universe, you take Bioshock Infinite's story out of that universe, and it's still nothing. Super interesting. It's, you take The Last of Us story out of that universe, it's boring as hell.
Boring as fuck. You're totally right. And that's why I think that's a perfectly valid response to say that you like if so, a lot of people like Bioshock Infinite more just in general because it's more creative, and I entirely
I've said like many times that while mechanics are important, I'm more of a universe guy than a mechanics guy when it comes to to game worlds.
So but on the other hand, I think there's legitimate arguments to be made that the direction of Bioshock Infinite, sorry, of The Last of Us' story is better than Bioshock Infinite, especially when it comes to subtlety. Like, I just...
Bioshock there was Infinite, that very moment, which I'm surprised, I was waiting for you to mention it, and I purposely didn't, at the very end of The Last of Us. I messaged you on Steam about this, he says we need to keep finding something to fight for, or something like that. And while he says that, he subtly touches his watch.
Yeah, and I knew that would come up here, because the Bioshock Infinite trades in pomp and circumstance. And that is what games have done forever. It's taken up until The Last of Us to finally get to the point where games can trade in subtlety. I think this is the first game that did it, and I think it's the best game that's done it since.
Journey was pretty subtle with a lot of its storytelling stuff.
Sure, but it's you kind of like compare scales then, right? Because Journey is like, it's a short, succinct game, and there's nothing to compare it to. It's far harder to do subtlety when dealing with the believable human beings. Right,
I suppose.
Yeah, and when I look at Ellie and Joel, like in their scene, for example, that we brought up earlier of him saying, "You're not my daughter," and I'm sure as hell not your father. That felt like two humans talking, and it was insane. And that's the kind of storytelling that I think that Bioshock Infinite did in a completely different way. Like it went all the way pomp and circumstance. You beat Comstock's head against that fucking. Like that, let's face, what was it? It was a bird pool? What do you call this thing?
Bird drinker.
It was like a bird bath.
Bird bath, yeah. You just beat it against a bird bath, and then you shoot a bunch of dudes, and then you like the universe explodes around you when Elizabeth like breaks open the universe. And
God, that ending was amazing.
It was amazing, but it's all pomp and circumstance, right? And whereas Last of Us, it ended so amazingly, but it was just one character looking into another character's eyes and lying. And that was what made it amazing. And so I will make definitive arguments for saying that story is up to personal. You can personally swing one way or the other. But when it comes to direction, The Last of Us is just in a whole different league than Bioshock Infinite, in my opinion.
You know, Bioshock Infinite
I don't know if it was a whole different league. I think it was just a difference of styles because things were framed very different.
It's true. They were framed really different. I'll give you that. And Bioshock Infinite did have lots of breadcrumbs. If you play that game again, you can see there's moments when Booker's nose bleeds that you wouldn't get unless you'd see the ending, or there's voxophones with Comstock saying stuff that makes so much more sense once you know the ending.
Hell, subtlety the entire game, Elizabeth going with half of a finger.
Yeah, straight up. And that was there's definitely arguments there. Which Tyler, what
Bioshock Infinite, I think it has better broad story of just the things that's surrounding what's going on, but I think Last of Us has a better interpersonal story, which I've always been a bigger fan of.
The thing that I like about both of them is that in the end, the events of both of those stories don't matter at all.
I suppose.
What do you mean?
In the end of The Last of Us, Joel basically screws over humanity, so that's kind of a big deal.
It doesn't change anything.
Yeah,
kind of does.
It kind of changes it from being there being hope to there no longer being any hope.
But my point is the ending of both of those games undo the events of both of those games.
True.
That's true, I guess.
I'll give you that. In both cases, that The Last of Us wouldn't have happened if Ellie wasn't immune, but
it makes the events of the rest of the game a moot point, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Which I think is a really cool narrative constraint. Like, it says a lot about games that they can have stories like that, and people enjoy them now. As I bet, back in the day, without these, trading in this much production value, you couldn't do stuff like that before, I don't think. Except for maybe some JRPGs. I think some JRPGs have come close to doing that before, Chrono Trigger and that kind of stuff, but I still think that these things are operating at such a higher level because they have all those production values behind them. So anyway, personally, I'm taking The Last of Us for both of these subcategories. Shinboy, which are you going with?
Wait, are we doing story and story direction?
Yeah, story and story direction.
I would say the beats before the ending, The Last of Us is stronger because, you know, people dying off left and right. There was one moment in particular when, was it Triss? Is that her name?
Tress.
Tess.
Tress. Tess. Triss. Tess. Triss is from The Witcher, I believe. Tess. I knew it was a T. When she sort of sacrifices herself, you walk upstairs and you just straight up see her dead in the middle of the rotunda. Yeah. And that drives home the point of like, no, she's not going to come back later once you escape.
Yeah. She's not going
to. So like moments like that.
It's like, oh God.
I thought moments like that made The Last of Us on average a bit better. But then again, there's really moments that I like in BioShock, like when Elizabeth stabs what's her face?
Dude, like
in the back.
All the twins moments. Back. All of the twins moments.
All the twins moments. And then there's the moment where Elizabeth stabs. God, I'm really bad with character names.
Ah, shit. The chick, the leader of the rebellion chick.
Daisy Fitzroy.
Fitzroy.
Yeah, there you go.
Corduroy pants.
Daisy.
He stabs her and steps back, and there's just like flashing lights, and she's just covered in blood. And just like, oh God, what happened?
Part of my problem with Elizabeth, though, is that, like, yeah, she kind of, like, opposed a lot of the violence, but she also throws you ammo, like, every 5 seconds.
Yeah, and she doesn't feel real kinda,
like,
to me.
Helps you kill. Yeah, there's a bit of a disconnect, whereas with Ellie, I thought that, like, even though she doesn't really like what's going on, she'll still, like, she doesn't mind getting her hands dirty.
Yeah, she proves in many cases that's... We didn't even bring up the fact that in most of these post-world games, like, these post-apocalyptic games... You don't really see the perspective of someone who was born and raised post-apocalypse, who never had any idea of what it was before that.
Like, Ellie, when she sees an ice cream truck for the first time, she's like, what is this thing?
Yeah. Or yeah, exactly. It's just, oh, she, like, doesn't get half the jokes in the joke book because she doesn't know what half those things are. It's crazy. And stuff like that is the reason I think the subtlety trade is so much better in but anyway, go back. Shinboy, what's your opinion?
I also like when Joel tried to explain Ellie the rules of football. I thought that was pretty good. See, just little moments like that is part of why I love The Last of Us so much. I think it's a little better than BioShock. But go ahead.
I don't know. The way the story at the end of BioShock Infinite, the way that ending made you think back and realize, oh, wait, this all makes sense now. That's what it's like at the once the credits rolled at the end of The Last of Us, I was like, huh, that was impressive. That was really good. I really enjoyed that. Happy I had that experience. At the end of BioShock Infinite, when the credits started rolling, I could not put thoughts together.
I'm somewhat the same. Like, the end of BioShock Infinite, I was just speechless. I had no
idea. I was floored by that ending.
But at the end of The Last of Us, I was angry. I was like, Joel, you bastard. I can't believe I played that character. I was angry at him for like 2 days before I turned around that ending. And I realized how awesome it was. Like, it was just... Yeah, it's a perfectly valid argument. So Shinboy, it's for both. I think you're leaning towards both story and
I would
story
say direction. Actually, like the I don't know. Story like I certainly The Last of Us I would say is objectively a better directed game. I just like the way that BioShock Infinite handled things more.
Perfectly valid. Tyler,
like it beat one last point. The way I know you said you don't like it. I like the way that it beats everything over your head at the beginning.
I hate that. Oh, but we talk about this
because it's extremely relevant to what's going on.
But they could have done so much more with so much less. Last night. I mean, come on.
Are we talking about BioShock or
like BioShock? The way the religious overtones started and have affected everything in society. As a fan of discussing religion's role in society, I love that.
And I hated it because
it's strictly a personal preference thing.
Exactly. Like for me, the opening where you're forced to go through that essentially that temple. And you're seeing all these people praying to the founding fathers, and you have to go through the. I actually really like the fact that they forced me to do a baptism, but aside from that, like everything was just so over the top and just so overbearing. I understood this world by the time the pre-release trailer ended. I did not need you to do this all over again here. But then Shinboy, on the other hand, you really identified with that stuff and you found it really interesting.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because as not a religious person, I'm fascinated by religion.
Yeah.
Also, a problem I had with BioShock was that I thought they left in kind of key information in a lot of the audio logs.
Oh, yeah, that is a legitimate complaint that I agree with.
Yeah, I kind of wish they like wouldn't hide so many things. Like I like audio logs just fine. You're allowed, you can put stuff in there. It kind of fleshes the world out. But okay. I think in the original Bioshock, like, there wasn't really that much key information. It was more of just like how these people lived before things went south, which is more interesting to me.
Like the story, this will be my closing for this segment, then we can move on. The story in Infinite is more my speed and more my cup of tea, but The Last of Us, I think, tells their story a bit better.
Cool. So, all right, cool. So that's the Ancient Boy is Bioshock Infinite for story and The Last of Us for story direction. Tyler, round us out. Where are you sitting on these two?
I kind of agree with Shinboy. The story direction, I think, is better in Last of Us, but I think the overall story, they did like a bit of a better job in Bioshock. Although I almost feel like it's unfair because like Last of Us wasn't really trying for that.
Yeah.
It was trying to do a more personal story rather than
fleshing
out the world around it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think as a whole, I think I prefer Last of Us.
Cool. And then I guess we can go into the graphics, but it seems I wanted to save for story last.
This is almost unfair.
Yeah, it's just unfair. Like one's on PC,
is gorgeous on PC.
But in terms of like art direction, so we all agree that just like straight technically, Bioshock Infinite is more impressive.
That's debatable.
Like
to the eyes, it's more it looks better, but I don't know about more impressive.
Well, yeah,
there's probably more polygons in Bioshock Infinite.
Higher res textures.
In terms of just
Bioshock Infinite runs in 1080p on the PC.
Exactly.
At 60 frames.
Last of Us is only 720.
And that's
60
why
frames
I think
unless
it's more
you're
impressive.
Looking at a fireplace.
Yeah.
Like, it's like 2 frames.
I think almost undoubtedly Bioshock Infinite is impressive because it runs pretty damn well on most PCs. And it looks good. Like the texture quality is good. And you kind of like take into account that is their art direction. Like I know that stuff in The Last of Us is more detailed, and we'll get to that when it comes to art direction versus art direction rather than technical. But the Bioshock Infinite, they were going for that subtle, like cartoony kind of look. And
yeah, I've heard some people complain that like the cartoony aesthetic kind of makes the violence feel out of place, which I don't really agree with.
It makes it more jarring.
Yeah, that's how I felt. Like the first time you stabbed that guy with the skyhook, it's like, oh god,
yeah,
this is messed up.
But I will put a special note in here. If we're including that here, animations in The Last of Us are one of the best in the game ever. So fuck you.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah, you can't.
Wait.
I mean, a lot of people
are going to yell at me. I'm like, I agree.
Exactly.
A lot of the animations in Bioshock Infinite are kind of bad.
Yeah.
Like, they're really wooden.
Except Elizabeth's AI and the way she sort of latches onto things like semi-randomly in like not combat situations, where she'll walk over to like a bookcase and be like, oh, look at this, what's this thing?
Yeah, like, all that's scripted though.
No, it's not.
Well, it's
I actually paid attention at the panel at PAX.
Okay, so
I was
not
so tired. I tuned in for like half of
it. Especially the beach is probably the best example. If you sort of don't move on from the beach, Elizabeth will like walk around and start like wondering like, oh, what are these guys doing? What is this thing? Like it's actually sort of random. Ken Levine went on this big old rant at the PAX panel about how they like almost removed her from the game because they couldn't get it to the level that they wanted. And they had to create a special, like, I think they called it like the Liz Task Force, where they were like the gods amongst the development team, where they got whatever they wanted or needed. If they needed coffee, someone else went to go get it for them so they could keep working.
That's pretty crazy. Well, Ellie does some of that, but she does it really pre-programmed. I'd need someone from Naughty Dog to tell me that it wasn't pre-programmed before I'd say it wasn't. Because when she stops and looks at things, it's like something that I think she stops and looks at those specific things for everyone who plays that game. For example, in the first time you see a chop shop from the hunters, like in Pittsburgh, you go in and you see them cutting up, like you see the aftermath of them having cut up corpses. And she talks about it. But she talks about that for everyone. So I don't think it's randomized in The Last of Us. But yeah, anyway. So technically, it's almost unfair because one's on PC, one's on console, right?
But for a PS3 game, that game does look pretty good.
It's the best looking PS3 game. I think I'm comfortable with saying that as well.
Journey.
Well, that's
from I'm just talking about technically. Yeah,
Journey technically is fantastic.
I don't think it holds a fucking candle to The Last of Us, even technically.
Particularly the scene where you're like sliding down on the sand, like during like. I guess it looks sort of like sunset.
The lighting.
That's like as impressive as almost every scene in The Last of Us is insane.
What? But you know what? That frame rate is rock steady in Journey.
True.
He has a point.
That's true. That's true. All right, so now we can go into art direction.
As far as my personal opinion is, your game may look great, but if it looks great but runs like crap, it doesn't look great.
I'm fine with frame rates. As long as they stay above 24.
30 is fine. That did not stay above or stay at 30 like at all.
It was not locked at 30.
For me, no, it was not. I didn't have a problem. I didn't see it
dark. Do you have a newer PS3?
I actually have a fucking PS3 fat.
Yeah, but so do I. Okay.
I have one.
That
too.
Was it.
Yeah. But what's his face? No, it's like, I think it's because of the way I play the game and the way I use that camera. Because everyone uses the camera differently. Like, a lot of people had problems with the AI in The Last of Us, because if you look behind yourself a lot, you'll notice that they're doing really weird, bugged out things behind you. But I never look behind myself when I play the game. I'm always looking at the objective. So I never saw that stuff. So, like, it depends how you use the camera, how you play the game. And I think that factors into the frame rate for that game. Because I never had... For me, I notice it when it drops below 24. Like, for me, I'm not good at noticing the difference between 30 and 60. But as soon as something drops below 24, I'm just like, oh god. But it never did that for me. So
it was it was doable for most of the game. Most of the time, when there were frame rate issues, it was in bigger non-combat-y scenes. Except for the one where I described earlier, where I turned around and for a brief moment, until I shot the dude, that game was Slideshow City.
Yeah, it was never that bad for me. It was only
that was the only time it happened.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, art direction. And here's where I think I'll diverge from you two. I think The Last of Us has got better art direction. And so fuck you guys.
I mean, I'm kind of inclined to agree with you, but I also really like the art direction in BioShock because it's kind of cartoony, but also realistic at the same time. Like, there's good.
I never liked it. Even from the previews, I was like, I just don't like the way this game looks. Shinboy, you're a huge proponent. Go ahead and tell us why you like it.
I think the way the art design allowed them to design the characters helped the storytelling a lot.
But the same could be said for The Last of Us. Like,
not really, because they just sort of look like people.
That's why it works so well. That's why the story works so well, because they look like people when they move and well, but going back to technical,
it sort of fits back with the subtlety or over the topness. The art style in BioShock allowed them to sort of make caricatures out of all the characters, exactly, which I think helped with the way they wanted to tell that story.
Exactly, they're both in service of their storytelling methods.
Which I think at that point I would have to call it a draw, because while it's a personal preference thing, they both do an equally good job of helping them tell the story the way they want.
It's true. I'm willing to accept a draw, because there are some moments in BioShock Infinite when you're looking over the cloudscape, for example, that is just jaw-dropping. It's just jaw-dropping.
I think Columbia in general is just beautiful to look at.
Mm. And
which again helps with the storytelling. Yeah.
But there's moments in
The Last of Us,
it's like
creatures growing over everywhere.
Yeah.
But The Last of Us did have giraffes.
Whew, that's true.
I mean, if we're coming down to the giraffe argument, then I would say it doesn't have Giraffes of the Year locked up yet, because we do have to remember that Zoo Tycoon for the Xbox One has yet to be released.
This is true. But is it a launch game?
I don't know.
If it's not, then it might have to wait until next year.
Before the end of the year, then obviously The Last of Us wins GOTY, Giraffes of the Year. The
Last of Us is the current front runner for the prestigious
Leader in the Clubhouse.
Giraffes of the Year award.
Leader in the Clubhouse.
And with that, anything else to say about these games? We've done a comprehensive discussion now. I don't think
we need to talk about the gameplay.
Oh, gameplay! Right, you guys want to talk about gameplay?
I would arguably the most important part.
I am in the minority that really, really liked how Infinite played pretty much from start to finish.
I liked how it played.
I like how it played just fine. I just think that there are better shooters.
It's funny, because the problem that a lot of people had with Infinite was that it's easy to get stuck in using the same one or two guns or same one or two powers.
Absolutely.
Is how I played The Last of Us. I used like the shotgun exclusively.
I used every weapon.
I was the opposite. Like, I would in BioShock Infinite, I would stick with like same three weapons, the same two vigors. Whereas The Last of Us, since you get so few ammo, you pretty much are forced to experiment with different weapons.
I got kind of good at beating dudes with bricks, so I didn't need to use ammo that much.
I never beat someone with a brick.
Bricks are pretty effective.
It was either revolver or shotgun, and that's about the only weapons I used extensively.
Man, I use like the machete, the axe. I tend to prefer pipes to.
I mean, aside from melee, that doesn't count because you just sort of pick those up.
Well,
as
just
you
like
go.
just in melee alone, I use like multiple different melee weapons, right? And from choice, not from like that was all I had. It was like I can choose between a modified plank of wood or this unmodified pipe, and I'd always go for the pipe because I knew I could modify, like weird stuff like that. But beyond melee, I used essentially every single weapon in that game, and I upgraded every single weapon in the game. But my favorite is probably the flamethrower, though.
Like I said, I went through that whole game without using that flamethrower once. I don't know what it looks like when it fires.
Flamethrower is awesome.
It's rigged.
It's pretty much insta kill.
Yeah, insta kills everything. But the bow can insta kill from stealth, which is kind of cool.
Really, only use the bow in winter.
I only use the bow like when there's clickers around. I was trying to be stealthy because they can't hear you when you kill them with the bow.
I only used the bow once I got the aiming stability upgrade. Before that, it was like unusable. I could not hit anything with the bow at all. But then I got the aiming stability.
Yeah, that's kind of what I liked about it, the fact that it was hard to actually hit something with it.
Did Ellie have the aiming stability? Because I didn't feel any problems when I was using the bow with Ellie.
I don't think she got any of the buffs.
Yeah. Weird.
Like the listening distance I noticed was noticeably shorter.
Noticeably shorter. Yeah. It was a lot of people have criticized the Ellie part of being like meaningful. Which is I guess is kind of accurate because he's like you do everything Joel does, but it takes longer or you're shitter at it. Like killing someone with melee with Ellie is like way more dangerous because they have so many fewer damage animations because they can actually break out of the melee and hit you back with Ellie. But they never did that with Joel. When I started laying into someone with Joel, they were just done. Essentially, I was just going to kill them. But what were you saying again? Oh, yeah. So gameplay kind of comes down to like what you prefer, man. I think both these games play really well. And
I was actually really impressed by with once I figured out how I wanted to play The Last of Us, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I think on the list on GiantBomb.com, I put, I don't like stealth games. I liked how this game played.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm the same. This is the one. It's like the only time in a game that has stealth mechanics where I actually preferred to be stealthy, and that if I actually like screwed up instead of just like restarting from like where I was, then I would actually just like try to find my way through it.
Yeah,
I think a lot of that has to do with the way the checkpointing works. Because a lot of times with stealth games, the way I get frustrated is like, okay, I spend 20 minutes doing this, then screw up, and then oh god, I got insta killed, and I have to do that whole thing again.
So my biggest problem with stealth games is that I always feel underpowered, so that whenever I do get caught, I'm like, oh god, there's no way I'm going to get out of this.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Without being unscathed, whereas this game, even to get caught, it's like whatever, I'll just unload on these guys.
Yeah, it made the Metal Gear Solid.
Or you can like hide again.
Yeah.
Exactly. And
except for runners, which is why I liked fighting the hunters better than I liked fighting the infected.
Dude.
And by a wide margin.
Dude, no, I hated fighting humans because they were harder.
I liked it because it was more interesting.
There were just too many of them, I thought. They put too many in a single room.
It was harder. For me, when I fought infected, I felt like a god. I felt like Batman because they couldn't see me. I was just killing them all in stealth. It was just over before it even started with infected. Except for bloaters.
My only problem with the box quote. The only problem with the humans is that like you would be like trying to sneak up to them, but then there'd be like a human behind you just start shooting you.
Yeah, like they see further. They have range. Like unlike infected.
Yeah, but like that makes sense because they're not clickers that are blind.
Yeah, exactly. So it was harder to fight humans. That's why I didn't like fighting them as much. But it makes sense, as you said.
It was more dynamic, which is why I liked it.
Yeah, and that's how they designed it. So
there's just nice variety.
Mm-hmm. And on that note, I prefer the variety of... It comes down to preference, right? And I prefer the variety of The Last of Us's gameplay way more than... Like, it was a competent shooter, but Bioshock Infinite got samey for pretty much everything outside of handyman fights. For the entire
game. I would say that Bioshock Infinite is a more fun game to play, The Last of Us is a more interesting game because there's not that many games, even though it's similar to like other games, but just the way that it handles is kind of unlike a lot of like AAA games.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I still prefer the way you could sort of combo guns and I always want to call them plasmids, figures in.
Yeah.
In Infinite. I never did a vigor combo.
Oh, it was so cool. I would, Shocking Crows is the best.
Yeah, I would do Shocking Crows. That'd be about it.
That's pretty cool. For me, I just freaking just threw grenades at everything, and that killed everything in that game.
So, well, you played that game on easy. I played that game on hard.
I played it through on easy, then I played a couple levels through on insane or whatever, 1999, and it was the same. But you never know, because playing it from start is different than playing it from midway through on a different difficulty.
The problem with Infinite is that they give you like different vigors and weapons to play around with, but eventually you get to the point where like, okay, these two are like the most effective, so you've been able to use those throughout the game.
And kind of the
see, that's what I did with The Last of Us.
Kind of, so
I don't know how you could do that. The fact that you don't get that much ammo.
I got really good at meleeing, dude. So
you preferred melee. Was I against humans? I only ever used guns. Like I barely.
There was some point where I had full ammo on like four different guns.
I ever had was full ammo on my shotgun. That's because at some points in that game they give you a shitload of shotgun ammo. That's like the only time I've had full ammo.
Because like what I would do is just like. If, you know, stealth dudes, obviously, until I got caught, and then maybe headshot one dude or like pick up a brick and throw it at him, then charge at him. Because if you like charge at a dude and when he's stunned by a brick and punch him, it's one hit.
It's just over.
So I did that a lot. I got decently good at it because it auto aims onto them.
Yeah. It's pretty fun. I like moment to moment, I find The Last of Us funner than BI. But
they're both expertly paced.
Yeah, just really.
Yeah,
it's really solid.
In the last one, it's just the fact that there's more variety to it. Mm. I think puts it over the edge. Whereas BioShock Infinite, I thought at some point,
there definitely is more variety.
Toward the end, where you're getting on the airship, like that part just felt really
tedious. Oh god!
They had the songbird at the end.
The Last of Us had Pittsburgh in the middle of the game. Freaking BioShock Infinite had Pittsburgh at the end of the game. Like, what the fuck, guys?
But the Pittsburgh in The Last of Us lasted way longer.
Yeah, but also wasn't at the end.
It wasn't at the end. Like, oh god, that airship stuff.
It is well understood that Ken Levine cannot design a good final encounter. This has been established.
Oh god. But anyway, personal preference for me is Last of Us. Shinboy, I assume yours is BioShock Infinite.
Yeah, but not by as much as I probably made it sound.
Yeah.
Like, I sort of enjoyed BioShock, like, the same amount all the way through, like, a pretty high level.
Mm-hmm.
And then The Last of Us, I really kind of didn't like how it played at first. And then once I sort of understood how, like, things I could do and what I wanted to do with, like, distracting and throwing bricks to stun people and all that, I enjoyed it more.
Like, when I watched Patrick play through that first encounter with the room full of clickers, like... He plays it entirely different to me. And I think that's a sign of a really good game. And both of these games did that. Like, a lot of people, barely anyone used the same vigor and gun combination.
I had an interesting conversation with Greg Kasavin at PAX about that with Transistor, actually. He said that's one of the reasons why internally they really like the game. Because, like you were saying, how he plays it completely different than one of the other designers and stuff like that, just in testing.
Yeah. And I think that's a sign of two games that play pretty well. Like, I would give you a lot of options. Yeah, just personal preference for me is, it's not even by a small margin. I just really like stealth games, so I really love Last of Us.
See, I really don't like stealth games.
So it's like, Tyler, where are you sitting in this?
Yeah, I think just The Last of Us. I had probably, even though I had more fun with BioShock, like I said, that The Last of Us is just a more interesting game to play, and that. I don't even know. The both games are so great. I feel really bad talking bad about the other one.
Exactly. These are both games we're giving 9 and 10s to. So, finally,
Troy Baker.
Okay, yeah.
Troy Baker is
pretty great. But I want to end that little show.
Probably about 20-25 minutes without mentioning Troy Baker. So we should probably.
I think Troy Baker should just be awarded Game of the Year on all major publications.
Oh man. He's great in both games. He's fantastic in those games.
I'm gonna just shorten that to he's great.
He's great. I want to end out the show with, because we've already done Booker versus Joel, and our general preference leans towards Joel. But
I'm pretty sure we did Ellie versus Elizabeth.
I don't think we have. Let's do this.
We touched on it a little bit.
We touched on it, but let's bring this out. Who's the better sidekick character? Ellie or Elizabeth?
Are we talking about
Elizabeth is the more useful sidekick character?
I disagree. I don't think so. Ellie saved my ass a couple times, like proper saved my ass. Like I was down and out with like 1% health left.
No, but could she summon things from another dimension to help you fight dudes?
No, she.
I mean, we don't know. Maybe she could have, just never told us.
But dude, she could throw a brick.
Do crazy things to you.
She could throw a brick like nobody's business, man.
Throwing a brick versus ripping in a turret from another dimension.
That's kind of like the difference between these two games, right? Those are equally meaningful things to me.
Man, so. Ripping in things from another dimension is awesome.
Oh man, I actually like them both. I think one's more of a person, great, and one's a caricature. That's the difference for me.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think Ellie's just more believable, and yeah. I cared more about her.
She swears like a sailor, man. I love that.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome.
Fucking
yeah. Like every time you like kill someone, you'd be like, "Oh shit,
yeah, fuck Joel." I was like, "Nice, oh, Joel."
Although after like the 20th time, that kind of lost its punch.
Yeah, it did. But the first time it was great. Yeah, I think
Elizabeth deserves a lot of bonus points for the randomness that they built into her AI.
Agreed, very much agreed. And I think,
although at the same time, if you let her dance in that square for like an hour, she won't stop. Like, she'll just dance for eternity.
Oh man, if I could dance for eternity, I would dance for eternity.
I think it's almost difficult because they had different aims for the two, because like. The end of The Last of Us is meaningful because of Ellie's and Joel's like relationship, right? But in the end of Bioshock Infinite, Elizabeth is essentially removing herself from existence. And they had different names for those characters, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I feel like I don't know. I feel like you sort of care about Ellie both for Joel's sake and for her own, while Elizabeth, you're just sort of wondering what relationship she has with Booker. It's more focused on Booker. Elizabeth is just sort of not really an accessory,
right?
But she's the focus and not at the same time. It's kind of weird
considering the time period it was set in. I like for a lot of my time with Elizabeth, I was like, okay, when's Booker gonna bone Elizabeth? That was essentially my, until he started like actively making comments such as like she's just a girl and that kind of stuff, which did happen in like pretty quickly in that game when you first meet Elizabeth.
Felt that way in BioShock and not in The Last of Us.
Oh god,
that would be really bad.
Yeah, The Last of Us would have been weird. She's 14, guys. Come on. Yeah, there's been some hilarious notes on why Japan loves that game, but I won't go into it.
So there was an image of some guy Google image searched The Last of Us, man. Ellie. And the top related searches were all things that should not have been top related searches.
That was fucked. But no, I like both of them.
Did you see that Ellen Page? Like
they have really since upset over, they have since made up.
Yeah, I know. I saw that, but still,
I can definitely see the resemblance in the early images, but modern Ellie looks nothing like Ellen Page at all.
It's pretty much Ellen Page also admitting that she looks like a 14-year-old girl.
And with that. These are two awesome games. I actually think how I measure the greatness of years is the high points, not the average. So for me, I think 2013 is probably one of the best years in gaming since like 1998, like since Half-Life and Metal Gear and that kind of stuff.
Not taking averages into account, just high points, because you got The Last of Us, you have BioShock Infinite, you have the craziness that was the E3 press conferences.
Yeah,
ever lumping like game news and everything around that, then I could see that
in gaming in general.
Yeah,
we're not even halfway done.
New consoles are launching this year, and just...
someone, one of the girls that I worked with at Stables, was like, I was thinking of getting a job at GameStop as like another part-time job, like through the fall. And I was like, this fall is gonna be crazy.
Yeah.
And she's like, crazy. Why? And I was like, oh, man. She's like, I don't think it'll be too bad. It'll just be, you know, regular holiday sales like it always is. No. Oh, no.
And I'd share Jeremy Clarkson's, like Jeremy Clarkson, famous Top Gear reviewer of cars and British.
He's the man.
He's the man. His opinion on cars is that the latest best car in the world is the de facto best car ever, because in his opinion, cars stand on each other's shoulders. The evolution of cars is so interdependent that the modern best cars are the best. Because and they
I'm imagining you saying cars as in referring to the Pixar franchise and just getting really angry because those are really bad and no one should watch them.
Well, I
guys, Blaze is coming out in a couple months.
That's not Pixar. Thank God, that's regular Disney animation.
Indeed. Yeah, even Pixar was like, we're not touching that.
Oh God, yeah. So, in my opinion, that's why this game this year is so good, because it does build upon previous years, and I can't wait for. I've updated my best games of all time or my favorite games of all time list, and specifically, I say I rated The Last of Us number 2, and in my final statements are, I rate The Last of Us my second favorite game of all time, but I'm excited to do that because I know it will be dethroned, and it will be dethroned by a game.
To ask you, is number one Persona 4 Persona 4 Golden?
Yes, Persona 4 Golden tied as number one. I know okay. Can't. But it'll be dethroned by a game that built that stands upon its shoulders. Like I cannot wait.
Do you think it'll be another Naughty Dog game?
I hope Naughty Dog isn't the only developer that can get this good. Like I hope it's not.
Do you think there will be a Last of Us sequel?
Yes, but I don't think it'll have.
I don't.
I think there might. I don't want there to be, though.
I don't think there will be, at least not made by Naughty Dog.
I don't want there be to be one, in the same way I don't want a sequel to Requiem for a Dream, the movie.
I think this, as a new IP, has done well enough that Sony has realized that the brand strength is not in the IP, it's in the studio.
Maybe. I hope that's what they realize. But if you look at Sony's publishing history, Uncharted 1, Uncharted 2, Uncharted 3, Jack 1, Jack 2, Jack 3... like it's Infamous 1, Infamous 2, Infamous Second Son, Killzone 1, Killzone 2, Killzone 3. Like it's just they do what Activision does, just not as bad as Activision. Activision's like Call of Duty 7 or some shit this year.
Right? I mean, they give people proper time.
Yeah, they give people
proper time. They don't annualize all their games.
Yeah, but they do create. They do sequelize all their major franchises. I just hope that, because if Joel and Ellie come back, it'll mean bad things for the ending of The Last of Us. Because
I would actually be okay with the sequel if it was like another side of the country, like completely related.
Yeah, just different unrelated. People.
Like different people.
Or a different country. I would love to see Naughty Dog's take on like the UK. Like how
or even just like there. if it's Ellie decides later on that Joel was lying, and she fights her way back to some other location, knowing that it will be her death.
Maybe, but would you want that? Because a lot of people have posed the.
It depends. It depends on how they handle it. Like I'm not going to be the storyteller, so I can't determine.
To some extent, I can trust Naughty Dog in handling it well. Right, like they've proven themselves, they can do it. And a lot of people have posed, like, this is an origin story. In fact, if you watch the making of, Naughty Dog considers this, in some ways, to be the origin story of Ellie, not about Joel. Even though, for me, Joel was my favorite character, Ellie was the important one by the end of this game. So I can see a future where you're playing old Ellie. Perhaps Joel has been dead for a number of years. I think that's the best way to handle it. And maybe she realized after he died that she has, like, they can possibly cure the infection. Or there's a new hope for a new group of people.
A new hope?
But yeah, it's like maybe the Fireflies gave up Episode on finding 4? A cure, but someone else didn't give up on finding a cure, right? Like maybe a different group of people is still trying to find a cure.
And maybe you end up in Russia and you find all these like freedom fighters under some base. And you have to use
in the train
as currency.
Dance hopefully
someone, or someone who's listening picked up on my reference and laughed.
What was your reference? Do you want to repeat it?
I'm not going to say it. Okay. I'm not going to say it.
All right. And with that...
closing statements. I want to do closing statements.
Go ahead. I didn't...
I want to go last.
I don't
you
have
can be the last statement. Of us.
I don't have a closing statement. I love both these games.
I don't
want to
do a closing statement anymore.
I love both these games. They're some of the best games ever made. They're both on my top games of all time list. I'm happy that this year happened and that games are where they are now. Tyler, any last statements?
I think that this is probably the PS3's swan song, unless agreed. Like Beyond Two Souls.
That's not mean. Which fuck I that game.
Turismo 6.
Yes, like, how could I forget? Well, there are still some good PS3 games coming out. I think Beyond Two Souls looks good, although that game has a hard time.
Serious doubts about that game.
Overtopping right The Last of Us.
Yep.
And if the Although if the Last Guardian actually comes out,
that game's never that game.
That might actually overtake it.
Game's never coming out.
I've never been
about Bioshock Infinite.
I'm still not convinced that game came out.
Even when it went gold, that game's not coming out.
I'm still not convinced Bioshock Infinite has been released and we're not just living in some crazy Matrix world.
Maybe in a different dimension that came out.
Exactly.
And like you're playing as a separate copy of...
Shinboy, so, closing statements. I'm stepping
the
in.
Way I, the way I sum up my feelings on these games are like... Yeah, like everything that you said, they're both definitely worth playing. They're probably the 1 and 2 in games that come out this year. I doubt anything, except for maybe Watch Dogs will even come close.
So, GTA is going to... I bet GTA wins more.
Fuck GTA.
I know, right? Fuck GTA.
GTA's
anyway. Anyway.
GTA is not so great, but GTA...
I enjoyed playing both of them. Like I said, it was pretty close on most accounts. But I was super interested in the story and the world of The Last of Us. I was completely engrossed and enthralled in everything that was going on in Bioshock Infinite.
Yeah.
Like... I was in – there was nothing around my monitor. Like I was just in that world and it was amazing in every single way.
And for me, that was how it was for The Last of Us because I played that – you know what's the weirdest thing? When I pre-ordered The Last of Us, I found out after that that it was a survival horror game. And I was terrified because I'm terrible with survival horror games. But the moment I played it in like a completely dark – I played it in black room, all lights turned off, like – shit in front of my computer lights, the LEDs on my computer, I just put shit in front of them so I couldn't see them either, and it was just me and my screen and blackness with headphones on in the middle of the night, and I still wasn't scared by it, and I'm happy about that because it plays like Metal Gear and I felt like a god for half that game, and that's cool.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah, that was cool.
Ascended to godhood.
No, I almost feel like you can't really like pin The Last of Us into a specific genre.
Yeah.
It's a stealth game, just that.
Yeah, I mean, it has stealth mechanics, but it's
you don't
not
have to
really
play it as stealth.
Really,
yeah.
A stealth game,
exactly.
It's like a third-person action adventure game, survival horror,
sort of
crafting.
We didn't even talk about the crafting today.
It's,
whatever,
because there's not much to talk about. Really,
I think it was great though. It's
I thought it was there.
It's a good system, but yeah, I mean, it's not like you need to go on a rant about the crafting system. No. Anyway, but yeah, as I put in my list on giantbomb.com, I cannot see myself at any time in the foreseeable future enjoying a single-player video game experience more than I enjoyed Bioshock Infinite.
And that's how
see,
I
that
feel about this.
Almost crazy. That sounds almost crazy to me. Like I love that game.
I'm saying it can happen, but I don't like. There's nothing on the horizon that like has a solid release date that I see overtaking it.
Yeah,
I don't know. Saints Row the 4 is coming out pretty soon.
I'm gonna play that co-op, not single-player.
That's fair.
I feel the exact same way about Persona 4 Golden. Like, it's a game that I love, and I don't see.
It also came out like 4 years ago.
Like, there's just something. There's something about it. There's just something about it that's stuck in my mind.
Exactly. Yeah.
About Bioshock.
And with that, thanks for listening to the SpoilerCast. I'll hopefully get this up soon. Not that I mean anything to anyone.
Doesn't mean anything. Yeah, just they'll be listening to you saying that.
Yeah. I might
people
just...
be listening to this. Oh, I can't wait for him to put it up finally.
Oh. Man, he hasn't posted that yet.
I was actually surprised we weren't doing this live on your channel, Ashenboy. But anyway, no one would listen anyway. Anyway.
Yeah. Who listens to me talk?
Thanks for listening. I'm probably going to cut some of my shit out. I'm going to make this a little bit faster.
You're going to cut out the text-to-speech that happened when I sent the quote through chat?
No, I just read that. Anyway, thanks for listening and goodbye.
Guys. The Lego of Zelda is on the front page of IGN. I don't know what to think.
Fuck you. What?
I do know what to think.
What? The Lego of Zelda.
There's going to be like a Legend of Zelda Lego set?
This is madness.